WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. After 7 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's your nightly conversation with the facts after having skipped the night last night, and I apologize for my absence, but it was time well spent, and a good time was had by all. So things kind of pile up over the course of a couple of days. There's an abundance of stuff to babble about tonight. One that leaped right off the page at me, or right off the computer screen, I guess you would say. You remember a couple of months ago when we talked about the studies that found rocket fuel? Remember this, Taylor? Rocket fuel in milk and lettuce. I hate being ahead of the curve sometimes. Oh, it just gets worse. Scientists on Tuesday reported that perchlorate, the same stuff that was in the milk and the lettuce 2 months ago, a toxic component of, that's right, rocket fuel, was contaminating virtually all samples of women's breast milk, and its levels were found to be on average 5 times greater than cow's milk. Yeah. For all the little newborn babies suckling at their mother's breast out there, I'd just like to say, thanks, Bush voters. Thanks for giving us 4 more years of environmental poisoning. The babies are really, really grateful because, you see, what perchlorate does, it affects the thyroid gland. And as a consequence of that, at the levels found in the breast milk study, the scientists are reporting that one-month-old infants would take in enough perchlorate to exceed a safe level called a reference dose that was established last month by a panel at the National Academy of Sciences. What does it do? Perchlorate blocks the nutrient iodide. You know how you go and you buy your little thing of Morton salt and it iodides. Well, that's because your thyroid needs iodine. It inhibits thyroid hormones that are necessary for brain development and cellular growth of a, listen up, pro-lifers, you monsters who voted for Bush, inhibits cellular growth of a fetus or an infant. A baby with impaired thyroid development can have neurological defects that result in lower IQ or learning disabilities. Oh, that's okay. Some Bush donor pharmaceutical company will come up with a nice attention deficit disorder drug. Thanks, Bush voters. We really appreciate it, us normal people with kids. Thanks for giving us a guy who believes more in the defense industry than he does in America's children and your pro-life. Hypocrites. Now here's the fun part of the story. This is out of the L.A. Times. Environmentalists, bug spray. People who care about other people and the places that we live.
Now they're tree huggers.
Environmentalists have urged the EPA to set its standard based on the body weight and perchlorate intake of an infant rather than an adult. Toxicologists, that would mean a standard of a few parts per billion. On the other hand, the Pentagon, those fine, fine masters of war, Pentagon officials have said that would shut down many water systems across the country and cost the military. You can see the tears puddling up in their little eyes. It would cost the military and, what's more, their corporate contractors. Oh my God, it would cost the contractors billions of dollars in cleanup costs. We don't need them. And see, it's really complicated because what happens, you know, our food, the food that, you know, the food you eat in Maine, the food you eat in Minnesota, the food you eat in West Virginia, the food you eat in Alabama, you know, it's grown in different parts of the country, of course. Big agribusiness, that kind of thing. But what happens is this perchlorate gets into the ground and gets into the groundwater, gets into rivers and streams that are used to irrigate farms in places that would otherwise not so readily grow food. And it's not because these mommies are drinking perchlorate poisoned water. It's all of us. Because, you see, the perchlorate leaches into the food itself. That's how it got in the lettuce. That's how it got in the cow's milk. So it's not because it's in your water system. It's because it's in your food. And by definition, baby's food. Thanks, pro-life Republicans. God, we appreciate you. Maybe you can find a more heinous monster in 2008 to vote for. What a bunch of sweethearts you are. Yeah, remember, listen again. Perchlorate blocks the nutrient iodide and inhibits thyroid hormones, which are necessary for brain development and cellular growth of a fetus. Cellular growth of a fetus. I need a pro-life GOP monster to explain to me how they can still be pro-life when voting for a guy whose administration believes that we need more perchlorate, not less, in babies. Come on, try. Can you try? I don't know if you can or not. And a thank you. A thank you is in order. Look here, Taylor. Somebody sent me a gift. Some anonymous person sent me a gift. It's a beautiful 8x10 line drawing of Fearless Leader, you know, President Bong Hit. And it says, suitable for framing. That's all I've got. That's all the little sticky note on it says, suitable for framing. But you know what? It helps me hearken back to the halcyon days of my youth when, as a child, I had an 8x10 glossy color photograph of Richard Pinhead Nixon. Now, don't blame me for the name-calling. Harry Truman named him that, Richard Pinhead Nixon. But I had that 8x10, and you know, I put it on my dartboard. And just peppered poor old Tricky Dick Nixon, his image, as it were, with darts. I don't know what to do with this one. You know what? It's an amazing likeness, and he's got that smirk on his face, and that pointy, evil vulture beaky nose of his, and those jug handle ears. You know, sort of grinning in that beady eyed, loutish sort of way that he has. So thanks, thanks to it's just a P.O. box in Beckley. I appreciate it. Cost you a couple of stamps, you know. And you know, it's kind of cool the way you guys care. I dig it. For future reference, though, just send. I don't know how much this kind of looks kind of pricey, doesn't it? I mean, this is a good dollar or what? Send a dollar. Now, but thanks. There's some good humor involved in there somewhere, and I'll let you know as soon as I find it. So it's Thursday night. It's snowing outside. I don't know if it's going to stick or not. With my luck, you know, that's the problem. When they predict an inch of snow, we get a foot. When they predict a foot, we get an inch. And so I'm just hoping that I don't have to go skiing home. Turning my trip home at night into an hour and 45-minute epic is less than enjoyable. But you know, it's snowing. But you know, it's the 24th day of February. March is 4 days away, pick your math, and bang, spring's on the way. Start thinking about getting the spuds in the ground and the English peas and all that fun stuff, and warm weather and putting the coats away. Yeah, there's so Optimism is rampant tonight at Head On. For the time being, though, we've got to take care of a little bit of business. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. When we come back, the phone number, of course, in the Beckley area is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. I'm Bob Kincaid.
For it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Tundras, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.9% APR finance. And get a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sale. Triple your savings. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley.
On select models with approved credit. Limited trip financing. Triple rebates exclude college grad rebate. Dealer retains all rebates and incentives. 3750 rebate on a 5 Tundra ends 2/28/5.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Coming up on 18 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And just a quick little story to make mention of, not a news story, just one of those personal things. The danger of coal trucks became very, very real for me today. Without over-exaggerating or exaggerating at all, the point, by a matter of a couple of millimeters, I might be dead or blind today because Don Blankenship hasn't figured out that they're not going to hook a U-Haul to his hearse someday. Hasn't made enough money yet. Driving on Route 60 today, I was going east. Coal truck was going west, howling along with no regard for the speed limit whatsoever. When, as it passed me, and my window was slightly open. I like to have a little ventilation in the car, even in winter. Some piece of garbage blew off of it, shot through my window, and smacked me in the side of the head. It hurt. I mean, right here. You know, I'm pointing at the outermost left, the outermost corner of my left eye. You know, another millimeter or two, I'm blind. And it just, God, it made me mad. These greedy, filthy killers. You know, none of those little brushy things on the wheels that keep the spray and the garbage down. Now, that might cost another nickel. And meanwhile, bless their hearts, 150 or more good souls from the UMWA showed up to for a nonviolent demonstration. And they're outside the gates of hell, Massey's operation in Cannleton. And it was good. I was glad to hear that they did that. You know, Cecil Roberts and his cohorts went out to deliberately get themselves arrested. And they did. County sheriff's deputies came and took them away, apparently peaceably. But Is anyone? I mean, I know there are some. I'd like to know if there are any good God fearing Republicans who are outraged over what Don Blankenship did to those hardworking people. Are there? I don't know. Let's do go to the phones. 252-6200 is the number locally outside Beckley. If you're listening on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com, it's 800-620-9967. We've got Gary. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
I'm just kind of outraged.
What now? Is it something I said?
No. It's a little bit related to what you're talking about. You're talking about trucking and trucks tonight and the highways. What do you think about the way they changed the flashing lights on 19 going out your way?
I saw that, and at first I thought I was losing my mind.
Uh-huh.
Because you know I'm kind of like a rat in a maze, I guess. You know, you get me accustomed to something,
uh-huh.
And I believe that you know it's going to be that way.
Uh-huh.
So there I go howling down 19. I'm a speed limit obeyer.
Uh-huh.
But I get you get used to the idea that when that thing is flashing, you can count on having to stop, and when it's not, you can count on being able to just shoot through the intersection.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like the change. I mean, I read the news story, and the Department of Highway says it's more safe to keep them constantly flashing. I don't buy it.
Well, you know, I drive a truck up through there all the time, an 18-wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And truckers count on those flashing lights to let us know when we should start slowing down. Because, you know, that's a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit up through there.
Sure it is.
And when all of a sudden that light just turns red on you, just real quick, you do not have time to stop your truck. And I don't know what kind of moron, idiot, who ought to have his head stuck in the outhouse, his butt kicked all the way down through the hole, made that kind of ruling. But it just enrages me. It's an insult to people's intelligence.
Well, it's kind of like a con, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah. I mean, now this person is going to get somebody killed out there. Well, I mean, you could have had a serious accident.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody today that told me they were going out that way, and they were just like you, used to the old way, didn't know things had been changed, and they almost got run over out there.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it's you don't have a reference point anymore.
Yeah, you don't have a reference point. And I'll tell you what, from a truck driver standpoint, what they have done is just absolutely, it is dangerous. I mean, it really, really is.
And well, I think...
What makes me so mad about it, you know, you go, you work hard, you pay your tax dollars, and it's like the Peter principles at work every day of the week, 24 hours a day.
Well, you know, sometimes I refer to it as the God of irony.
Well, yes. And I don't know. And the Department of Highway seems like they have a problem with this.
Well, is this a statewide thing? Do you know? I mean, all I read was the reference to what was going on 19.
Well, I don't know if it's a statewide thing or not. I assume it's probably just on 19.
Because it's odd, because there was some lack of conformity even on 19 itself. You know, the... As you're heading north on 19, where the Go Mart is, as you're going, you know.
Maple Fork Road.
Yeah, Maple Fork Road. That one flashed constantly for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, it's always been that way. But if you're used to it, you're used to it, you know. But all the rest of them, it gave you some warning. And I'll tell you what, especially this time of year on these slick roads, you need all the warning you can get when the light's going to change. And isn't it kind of silly to have... to not have some sort of warning on a 65-mile-an-hour highway?
Oh, well, the fact that it's a 65-mile-an-hour highway and it's not limited access, I think, is kind of... you know, I know everybody wants to get everywhere they're going in a hurry, but I don't know that needs to be 65 miles an hour to start with. But secondly, to the extent that it's not limited access, it's only fair to warn people, I think.
Exactly, and what they do, it just enrages me when they come along and do something like that. And they're going to get somebody hurt or killed over this.
Well, explain to me, Gary, because I couldn't wrap my mind around how having it flashing constantly is somehow a benefit or somehow safer.
It's not. What you got is bureaucratic doublespeak. I mean, they're saying that truckers are trying to beat the lights because they were flashing before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that. I don't buy it at all.
I drive, I'll be honest with you, Gary, I drive that thing twice a day, 5 days a week.
Uh-huh.
You know, coming out and going home, and I have never, now I've seen some idiots in cars try to beat it, but I have never, not once, have I ever seen anybody in either a straight truck or a semi, you know, any kind of professional driver Never have I seen them try to rush that light.
No, what they do is that when it starts flashing, you gear down because you know you cannot make the light, and I know you can't make it.
Right.
If once you hit that flashing light zone, it is going to turn red in just a matter of seconds. There's no way in the world.
Flashing light is on a timer that is based on an average of 65 miles an hour, right?
I'm not sure. It probably is, though.
So as a consequence of that the timing has to be in some ways, there's got to be a factor in there that allows, that presupposes, I guess, the ability of the driver to slow from 60 or 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Without having to run a yellow or run a red.
Yeah. But, you know, stop to consider this. In the paper, they were saying nobody likes it. Nobody I talked to likes it. You don't like it. Even the sheriff out there said he didn't like it. How come we keep getting this stuff shoved down our throat? Nobody wants it, but that's the way it is. And it's not just this little thing right here. There's all kinds of little projects the government's got involved for us, just like his smoking ban here in Raleigh County.
Yeah.
One guy decides for 77,000 people, we can't smoke inside a business establishment anymore.
Oh, I know. I know.
I'm really getting PO'd about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see the democracy here. We live in a democracy. Where's it at? I mean,
well, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, if it was, it's not a democracy. You and I both know that.
Well, it's a Republican form of government.
anymore.
Sorry about that.
It's a fascist police state now.
It's turning that way.
But the fact is, if it were a democracy, there would be a referendum. I don't guess you need to haul out the touchscreen voting machines for everything, but this is one of those situations where it seems like common sense isn't prevailing, or at least in the news story, Gary. Give me more than experts say leaving the lights flashing at all times is safer. How is it safer? You know, this is the dumbing down of America, not just West Virginia, America.
Well, I agree with you because, you know, I mean, if it was such a great idea, I mean, I'd be calling up tonight in your show and we'd be saying, aren't we glad they done that?
Well, but, yeah.
You know,
have you
heard anybody yet, even one person, say that they like this?
No, I haven't. And, in fact, I thought I was losing my mind for a while. You know, the paranoids were after me or something. Because, that thing's flashing, and it's not turning yellow, and do I need to... So, you know, there's a reverse hazard in there, too, Gary, because I saw the flashing lights, and I began to slow.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll have to do when I drive a truck up through there, I will be forced to slow down to at least 45 miles an hour. At least, and maybe 40 miles an hour, because I don't know when that thing's going to turn. And if I'm going up through there any faster than that, I won't be able to stop when it turns.
No, you have no idea. It's like a trap. In some ways, and this is, you know, again, this is the little, you know, Bob's ugly little paranoid side.
Uh-huh.
I think the reason we didn't get anything more than experts say that it's safer to, the reason we didn't get anything more than that is because there isn't anything more than that. We're asked to take it on faith. You know, for the stuff I take on faith, I go to church, okay?
Exactly.
You know, for science, if you're gonna claim there's an expert who spent a lifetime studying flashing yellow lights, bring him out.
Yeah.
Because the other side of this, I smell revenue. What I like to call it, revenue enhancement with funny hats.
Well, I thought about that myself. That could be part of this.
In other words, if
that's the case, though, then really what we got, we don't have a Department of Highways. We got a Department of Highwaymen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, is it utterly out beyond the pale to think that maybe a phone call would go in from, you know, say, a police department or a sheriff's office or the state police saying, you know, why don't you make these things flash all the time? It'll be a little easier for us to write a few more tickets.
Well, it's not beyond the realm of possibility, but what I think it really is at work here is just supreme, and I do mean supreme incompetence.
Yeah, and a whole lot of supreme... hubris?
Yeah. A whole lot of that. Yeah, you see that all the time. You know, I'll tell you another thing they do. In other states, if they're going to be working on a lane, they'll put a sign out there like, you know, 3 miles out, right lane closed ahead.
Yeah.
Okay? They might put it 5 miles out, right lane closed ahead. What they do in West Virginia, they give you a half a mile.
Yeah, or maybe a quarter.
Yeah, right lane closed ahead. What happens if you've got 65 mile an hour traffic, on, like on a turnpike, and you've got very many cars out there, all of a sudden you have got a tremendous bottleneck.
And there's always some idiot that wants to rush ahead and try to, and then try to wedge in and, you know, sit there and do this the international semaphore for please can I get over? And I'm a good Samaritan on the highway, but these idiots that'll run up there and then try to wedge in ahead, no, I don't give them a break.
Yeah, I don't either.
You just wait till you come back from where you were to begin with and you get in there.
Well, if they would put those signs farther out instead of giving you literally just a few hundred feet to get over, they could really help the motoring public out. But now they don't want to do it. You know what? I guarantee you, if somebody brought that to their attention, and in fact, it's probably been brought to their attention many times, they're just going to get the old brush off, you know?
Well, I don't like it, and I sense that there's a tendency against it. So if there's enough outcry, it's possible that maybe we'll get a response and get it back to normal.
Well, I don't know. You can talk to these people out there, and it's what frustrates people, because they know that you can talk to the people that are in charge, and they will just, like I said, give you the brush off. I'll give you an example of something. I talked to Mayor Pugh one day. I talked to him on the Steve O'Brien show. And I said, Mayor, why don't you turn these lights on 19 in our shopping district into flashing lights at nighttime, say after midnight, and keep them that way till 5 in the morning? You know how stupid it is to go down 19 and have to stop at every single one of them lights. There's nobody in the world out there.
No.
Now, can they do that? I mean, is that big a deal?
It's certainly technologically feasible. It's done all over the country.
Well, I know, but it's not here in Beckley. We're not going to do that in Beckley. And I don't know. I just get kind of disgusted with it. I might move my way out in the backwoods where you're at or something.
My God, man, you make it sound like I'm out there past the last coyote.
Well, I don't know. You might be. But.
Hey, Gary, we got to roll, man. Thanks so much. Sounds like you're a little bit, you're fighting the sinus battle or something?
Well, everybody I know right now is sick, getting the flu and everything else.
Yeah, I'm this time of year, it's like sinus hell. I don't know why. And, you know, no pollen or anything, but even my voice is a little bit trashed yet.
Yeah.
Well, get to feeling better, all right?
Okay, buddy.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, time for a news update from Carl Mack, followed by the Workers' Independent News Service. We'll come back with more of your calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Hang On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. American Electric Power has entered into a partnership with the Education Foundation regarding the new Beckley Higher Education Center. The facility, which will be located along I-64 east of Beckley, will serve as a regional campus for 8 colleges and universities. Thanks to the partnership with AEP, the center will also serve as a demonstration site for energy. Mark Dempsey is AEP's Vice President for External Affairs.
Father Thomas Acker approached us some time ago, almost 2 years ago now, I guess, explaining his vision for the center and his desire to make it as high-tech as possible, especially in the energy consumption areas. Obviously, we have an interest in that, so we have been working with him to help identify technologies to incorporate into the building itself.
AEP will provide the new center with advice on available technologies and could assist the new center in securing energy technologies through direct financial support. Governor Manchin says a strong market for natural gas should help make up for the increased severance tax. Manchin spoke to industry members at an independent oil and gas conference yesterday. Under a new law the governor signed last week, natural gas producers will be charged an additional tax of 4.7 cents per thousand cubic feet as part of the effort to raise $230 million a year to pay down a $3 billion shortfall in the state's workers' compensation system. Governor Manchin wants voters to go to the polls June 4th and approve the sale of up to $5.5 billion in pension bonds The governor had lawmakers introduce a bill yesterday that would set up a special Saturday election for the bond question. The bonds are part of the governor's plan to erase funding shortfalls in several state retirement programs. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy. Tonight, snow likely. Not much accumulation expected, though. Mid-20s. And then for Friday, partly cloudy. Mid-30s. For Saturday, partly cloudy. High near 40. And for Sunday, partly cloudy, with temperatures up into the mid-40s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The No Child Left Behind Act is in urgent need of repair. That's the finding of a new report by the bipartisan National Conference of State Legislators. The National Education Association has praised the report, saying it reinforces the concerns of teachers, parents, and others in the education field across the country. Daniel Kaufman is a spokesperson for the NEA.
All in all, the report was a sweeping indictment of the problems with the law and the need to fix them soon, and should be a wake-up call for the Bush administration and Congress that this is not a partisan issue. This is an issue about how to make this law work at the local level and make sure that teachers and parents and others who work with children at the local level can get what they need to actually help each individual child succeed to the best of their abilities.
The task force released a report on Wednesday outlining 43 specific recommendations on ways to improve the law. The report is seen as vindication by the NEA, who last year were labeled a terrorist organization by the former Secretary of Education for their criticism of the act.
We need to fix the law now, or else we're going to get into a very, very difficult situation.
In California, state workers and their unions are gearing up to defend their pensions. Multimillionaire Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is trying to undermine the guaranteed benefits public pension system in California and force workers into private 401k-style accounts. The unions vow, though, to stand and fight the proposals that were rejected even by the governor's own representatives on the State Employees Pension Board in California. Rob Fechner is president of the board of the California Public Employees Retirement System.
Defined benefit plans are the only caveat going forward that ensures that they're going to have some sort of an ongoing payment for the rest of their lives or for the rest of their spouses' lives.
2.1 million state employees in California depend on those pensions. Rather than seeing the pension system as a great benefit to workers in their old ages, Schwarzenegger sees it as just another government program that he thinks is out of control. Unions and pension fund managers nationwide, though, are fighting this move, and they say it's a power grab meant in part to stifle the growing influence of public pension funds. They say it will ruin pensions and push public employees into poverty, putting them at the mercy of financial markets. Here's today's Dow Bob report. America is facing a homeless and hunger crisis, with at least 1.3 million Americans turning to emergency food and shelter providers each month. According to Communities in Crisis, a survey of hunger and homelessness in America done in 2004, more Americans are homeless and hungry, and agencies serving them have had to turn people away for lack of resources. As homelessness and hunger increase, the report found federal and state social service spending decreasing. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 21 minutes before 8 o'clock. Again, from the local front, or the statewide front, the folks in Charleston right now, the deal is out. The big negotiated foo-frah about third-party bad faith insurance lawsuits. Apparently what it's going to be is a trade-off is what is proposed. A ban on third-party bad faith lawsuits, and we'll talk a little bit about this later, with a promise by insurers to reduce rates by $50 million within 90 days of the passage of that sort of a ban. $50 million, do the math, your rates are not going to go down with any much significance at all. And it's all a matter of trading away your rights. You understand? Your rights. My rights. Trading them, giving them away for a one-time payment of $50 million, giving them away to the insurance companies. I don't like it when people try to give my rights away. I'm jealous of my rights. Let's go back to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Melanie is with us. Hello, Melanie. You're head on. Melanie.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I have to say I agree with Gary about the traffic light pattern on 19.
Yeah.
On Monday, I was going to Fayetteville, just tooling along, and the lights flash, and I said, oh, cool, we're going to stop. So I slow down, I get to the light, and it's still green. I almost got rear-ended.
Yeah, and you feel like a fool.
Exactly. No warning, and the people behind me are like, what's this woman doing?
Yeah.
You know, I feel sympathy for any truck driver that gets out there and has to face this idiot issue.
Well, have you ever seen a semi try to beat the lights?
Yeah.
I mean, it happens, but I've never seen one trying to outrun that yellow. No.
Not there. They're all too smart.
Yeah.
In any other state, even Ohio, if you're heading north on 23,
mm-hmm.
every flashing light that you see means that stoplight ahead of you is going to turn and you need to slow down.
Well, it just,
you can depend on it.
Well, it's like a lie, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe if we raise enough of a ruckus, they can put it. But if they're going to flash all the time, you have no faith in them. It means nothing.
Well, you know, I've got to say, I listen to you all the time, and I think Gary is one smart dude.
He is.
People need to listen to him. He knows what's going on, and I'd really like to have his phone number. Do you have it?
No. Sadly, no? I don't. Okay. Maybe if he wants to call in, it's up to him.
Okay.
But
he's really smart.
Yeah.
And people need to pay attention to what's going on around here because it's all political.
Well, it is, and there's a lot of common sense out there.
Well, it's the people that aren't making the rules that have the common sense.
Sadly enough, I think you're right.
Yes.
But you know, we enjoy Gary because Gary's been with this show since virtually day one.
Does he get a paycheck?
Sadly, no.
He needs to.
Of course, I don't get much of one either.
Well, you know, that's your career, but maybe he should pick up a few pennies now and then.
Well, you know, we trade ideas, and
uh-huh.
bless his heart, I've got Jerusalem artichokes in the ground that he brought me.
Do you?
Yeah, he's a gardener, and
uh-huh.
I love working on my garden. We met down at one of the Coal River Mountain Watch functions last year. You know, I'm surrounded by good people on this show.
Right.
That's what makes it so much fun.
Well, West Virginia is basically a state of good people, but there are just some idiots out there, and unfortunately, they run for office.
Some of them do.
And most of them do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye because
all
I
right.
have some business to tend to.
Well, that's fine, Melanie. I hope we'll hear from you again sometime.
I'm sure you will.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Ed. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Yeah, good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm at this point, I'm glad to be alive after today's little business with the coal truck. So,
was you down there and involved in that?
I wasn't involved in it, but I was driving past it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to comment on. I made a comment here in the last couple of weeks about Cecil Roberts being full of talk. I'm really glad to see that, and that's what it's going to take. We're going to have to repeat what happened back in the 30s and 40s.
Absolutely.
To get reestablished, and, you know, we've let it get out of hand. But what gets me is this guy that calls in on one of the other shows and runs his mouth. At first, he was in sympathy for the union, and then...
You there?
Being whatever.
Okay.
He decided he's not for him. So it didn't take a whole lot of pushing to get him to come out and say that he wasn't for unions. But I want to tell him something if he'd happen to be listening. If it wasn't for unions, he wouldn't be making the money he's making today. And he ain't got guts enough to back his union. Another thing, if it wasn't for the unions, the unemployment, the high rates of it, and the high workman's comp, would not be there for people that get yourself in a position to have to use it. So, because I've never seen a state or a company give a worker anything.
No, from the 5-day work week to the 40-hour to the 40-hour work week to overtime to the idea of a paid vacation, workers' compensation. It's all been accomplished through the good efforts of organized labor.
Yeah, and the reason they're making that now is you can see what they do. The companies that's non-union pays more than the union, so they won't have to deal with the union, but they're still coming up short.
Well, yeah, and the day that the unions disappear, where do you think that high pay is
going?
Oh,
yeah, we know where it's going. And I hear them talk about minimum wage. I heard one guy talking today on minimum wage. Why don't he take a minimum wage job now? Why don't he go back to the minimum wage? He said every time that we get a raise, companies get it back. You know, I'm going to tell him something. The cost of living clause is after the fact.
Yeah.
Unions don't, and workers don't get the cost of living until it's evaluated by the government and put a price on what it went up, which are getting shortened now. It's just like Social Security. They give you that raise yearly. If they'd give you that thing by the quarter, you would come out well ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Instead of waiting and making it look real good. I'm thankful to get that with what we got in there now, and I figure that'll eventually be taken. But I just wanted to say that for some of these sucks, and that's all they are, they'd suck a horse's butt for a morning glory, and they come around here and try to get these union jobs where people have absolutely died and fought for them,
yeah,
put out their blood to get where they are, and then not back it. Those are the worst kind of parasites that we've got. And somebody should take the guy down and see how much water he could drink.
Well,
and I'm really mean, Dad. I don't have any. We had a guy, and I think I told you about him, coming to our plant from Virginia, I think it was. And
mm-hmm.
I carried the keys at our plant and running his mouth. And he lasted about a week. And that's, you know, we just wasn't going to let it happen there. And that's what the coal miners need to do, too. These guys like that, they should find a way to, you know, send them back to one of these 6-15 an hour jobs.
Right.
And that'll cure the problem. But I wanted to comment on that I'm really glad to see. And, you know, Cecil Roberts has to draw something to the attention, and even on a national level, probably, yeah, because this is not going to, I don't think this will stop here.
Oh, no. This was about drawing attention to the crime that was committed by that bankruptcy judge in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah. I mean, but it's also, you know, it's a combination of things in my opinion, and I agree that's the big one. But the other one is to draw attention to down there what's going on, too, and let them know that there's going to be problems if they do that.
Well,
but I'm really, I just want to retract what I said about a lot of talk and doing nothing. I really wished I was heading up a union now. I know what I would do.
Yeah.
Because an injury to one is an injury to all,
well,
the way I feel about it. You know, if it wasn't nothing but a one-day strike.
Yeah, just to show solidarity.
Yeah, and let the state wake up and keep people out of it. It ought not to be in it by stopping the tax.
Yeah,
that's one. When you hit the state or anybody else in their pocketbook, you get attention. But it seems like some of the moderators, commentators, or whatever you want to call them, glory in seeing and hear from these non-union people, and they're more disgusting than the parasites that's doing it.
Got it.
But I also, if you got time, I was going to mention George Bush.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Did you see the day where he was, of course? He's over there pushing. He's not asking anything. He's really still giving alternatives.
Yeah.
And to make a statement that they had no intentions of war against Iran, and then turn around and say, but all the options are on the table. Boy, that, you're talking about double talk.
That made the little hairs on the back of my neck stand straight up, Ed.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, if you listen to people like Scott Ritter, you know, he's the real deal. An American military officer, a veteran, and he has said publicly that we will begin bombing Iran in June.
Yeah.
According to his sources.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that that the guy's a warmonger. We don't have the troops now. Probably they're going to have to, you know, and this is strictly speculation, but it appears that if we start any more ground wars, we're definitely going to have to enact the draft again.
I don't see how we can't. Yeah, I mean, 20,000-30,000 people are crippled out of this Iraq nightmare. You know,
yep.
I read a story a couple of nights ago. We've got veterans coming home who were in the Guard and Reserves, who were grievously injured, and they have been dropped from the rolls of veterans' health care. Because they weren't regular Army.
Well,
What kind of sick person starts a war and then lets that happen to the troops?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, things that were established years ago for people that, and I think I mentioned this to you before too, that these benefits that was set up for us, and then you have a clown get on there and holler, well, if you're making $22,500, you should pay for yourself. Listen, these benefits, we paid for it when we were making $79 a month.
Right.
And paid
in blood, Ed.
Yeah, and that was established not on what you made. That was established on what you did and what you were willing to sacrifice. And then you get some person that's never been in the service get on there and run their mouth about them getting too much. I tell you, they're sick. It's a sick society.
Well, we are breaking these soldiers, you know, and bad things happen, Ed, when you send, you know, a soldier's job is mayhem and killing and death. I mean, can we agree to that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not you don't send them over there to make daisy chains. And so, knowing that horror, I think it doubles or triples when you send them in to do a job that's wicked in the beginning. And this war is wicked. And no good can come to the United States of it.
Well, I don't think a whole lot of good is going to come to the United States for a lot of stuff that we're doing and the lies that we're letting our leader. You know, throughout the Bible, the leaders of these different countries brought down the wrath of God on that country, on the innocent people, because of their actions. And this, it's like him today over there pushing for free press. And yet, he can have somebody arrested that's a mile away holding a protest sign.
Yeah.
Now, that's freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And I'm telling you, what a hypocrite. You know, he's the height of hypocrisy.
He is. And, again, you know, these people that voted for him, you know, thanks a million. What do these people want? What do they want to do? I don't understand them, Ed. What do they want to do to America that they would vote for a monster like this guy?
Yeah. Well, I just hate a stinking liar. And calls himself a Christian. I can tell him some Bible. It says, one place tells you that a liar won't enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Or enter the gates of heaven. And in addition to that, somebody is going to have to answer for the blood that's been shed over. He's got blood on his hands in my book.
Well, I don't think he sees a reflection in the mirror when he looks in it in the morning. Otherwise, you know, he couldn't hold a razor for all the slickness from the blood that's all over his hands.
Well, I had one person tell me yesterday, if it hadn't been for what he'd done, we'd be fighting Saddam Hussein over here right now. And I thought, you know, how do you answer an idiot like that?
You can't. I mean, that person is so far gone that it's not even worth responding to. You just say, well, you know, you're an idiot, and you walk away.
Yeah.
You can't say anything to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure you can't teach an idiot, but these people never learn. And I listen to them on different programs. And
well, it's willful ignorance, Ed. That's the crime of it. It's not ignorance. Ignorance can be helped. Ignorance can be solved. Willful ignorance cannot, because that is ignorance that is yearned for and desired.
Uh-huh.
So
I can't understand why they can't get past that at all, though, Bob. It's unbelievable that the facts are there, and that this guy is worse than any president we've ever had, and yet his dad got put out on two reasons, the economy and for Read My Lips deal.
Yeah.
Well, this guy is 100 times worse than his dad. And yet they put him right back in there. I hope those hunters or sportsmen for Bush will get enough of him, and maybe their parents.
Well, I tell you what, they're gonna have a good time deer hunting on a concrete parking lot or on a dead place that Don Blankenship's made out of a mountain.
Yeah,
you don't do. There's not a lot of hunting to be done on a mountaintop removal site.
Well,
because there's no life there. It's just a dead place.
Hey, somebody told me one time, people live and learn. Some of them just live.
And it's not much of a life either.
Yeah. Bob, I sure appreciate your time. And I just can't believe that a man like that would go to another country and push for rights for other people that he's got control of the media and so forth here to where they don't put out the truth. It's just like that incident in the White House where that one guy was getting the information above even Dan Rather and some of them, and the suspicions that surround that incident is bad enough.
And it's growing too. That story, I assume you're talking about the whole Gannon Gate or Guckert or whatever the guy's name was, the fake journalist. That story will not go away. And now a couple of members of Congress, Democrats, are circulating a letter asking other Democrats to sign off on it, calling for a complete investigation. There's been a request for there's a special prosecutor in the case of the Valerie Plame outing of her CIA status, and there's a request out for that his investigatorial powers, that prosecutor, to be expanded to examine the Jeff Gannon business, because he allegedly had the memo that gave that woman's name.
I listened to, I watched Bill Maher last night, and I can't remember the gal's name. She's a real popular news correspondent. But anyway, she questioned how this guy got clearance and went, got around the FBI and the CIA and all of them that have this clearance like this. How they pulled that off.
Well, what's more, Ed, it's proven. The videotape is there. You can see it. The guy, Gannon, Guckert, this male prostitute, whatever, whoever he is, we don't really know. He worked for Talon News, this so-called news organization. But as it turns out, he was in the White House press room asking questions of Ari Fleischer before Talon News even existed. I mean, this is an inside job of monumental proportions. And you got to wonder why. What has this guy got on somebody in the Bush White House?
That he could do that.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a gay male prostitute in there with the White House press corps.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't just happen.
Well, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him be able to get to the bottom of it. I hate to see our government look any worse, but if it's there, then bring it out.
Yeah, well, a little fresh air and a little sunshine is good, at least in a government that prides itself on democratic principles.
Yeah, well, I think we lost our democracy about 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
I think you're right. Ed, we got to roll on. Thanks so much.
All righty, Bob. Thanks.
Take care.
Mm-hmm, bye.
All right. And more phone calls when we come back from the top of the hour break. It is time to go to the news from CBS. Let's see. What did little Georgie do today on his... whirlwind fence mending tour of Europe? I know some of what he did. I'll share it with you later. This guy's amazing. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, I'm Dennis Franz, talking about an issue close to my heart. Every 14 seconds, a child loses a parent to HIV and AIDS. It's happening all over the world. In Africa, 11 million children are suffering because their mother and or father has died. These kids live in very poor communities, and they lack basic necessities like food, clothing, shelter, and medical care. You can make a difference. Go to worldvision.org to learn how.
Didn't forget report card day.
How was school?
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't.
Why don't we take a look at that report card?
Can Jimmy come out and play?
Oh, not this month. He'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, I'm Chris Freeman, a 2002 Olympian and the number one cross-country skier in the nation, and a proud member of the U.S. ski team. I'm also one of millions of Americans living with diabetes, and the spokesman for the Lilly for Life Awards, a national awards program that recognizes people with diabetes or people within the diabetes community who have accomplished outstanding success. Are you one of those people, or do you know someone you want to nominate? For more information, call toll-free 888-545-5115.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world. At the tone, it's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
It is hour number two. I don't know where hour number one went. Is it under the coffee table? No, hour number one under here. Now, I told you, I'd mention a little bit about what Bush has been up to. Did you know that he tried? Of course you don't, because it doesn't happen on if they don't talk about it on Fox, it didn't really happen. For instance, Jimmy Jeff Guckygan, or Ganny Guck, the man-ho in the White House press corps. Do you know that his name has not been mentioned once on Fox News? Not once. We're talking about a guy, a gay male prostitute who, as Bush likes to say,
gamed the system
and got within 10 feet of the president to lob him softballs. Softballs, incidentally, that he got listening to Flush Flemball. You know, the made-up question about the Democrats saying that soup lines were coming. It was never said. However, Flush Flemball had told that lie the previous day. And there are other examples of Jimmy Jeff Guckygan asking Rush Limbaugh-inspired questions. And just slipped through the credentialing arm of the White House, the White House press secretary's office. Something's rotten. Something stinks. This guy has something over on somebody fairly high up in the Bush administration. And with his being a gay male prostitute, one can only wonder what it would be. But back on Tuesday, this report out of Brussels, there was a news conference President Bonghit was participating in. And, in essence, he stood there at the news conference and said, well, it's going to... answered some softball question, and I said... thank you all very much, and turned to leave the podium without even letting his speaking partner engage in conversation. Jumped right out there, answered the question that was posed to the other guy. This, he's a moron. And somebody out there voted for him, unless they just made it all up. Unless this is some terrible comatose nightmare that I'm living through, and I'm actually laying in a hospital somewhere with a feeding tube and a breathing tube down my throat. This is the reality is a whole bunch of people put a moron in the White House.
Well, that's all. Time to go.
And tried to scamper away from the press conference. Yesterday he was supposed to have a meet and greet with ordinary, everyday, average German citizens. But when the German government told the Bush White House, listen, we're not going to let you plant the questions, and we're not going to tell you what the questions are in advance. You know what the White House did? Of course you know what the White House did. The White House ran away. Coward. He is a coward. He is a... What was he afraid of? What question could a German citizen ask George W. Roachclip that he had to be afraid? FDR said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W. Bush says, and that's plenty. He's afraid of his shadow. He's afraid of American people. He's afraid of German people. He's afraid of Arabic people. He's afraid of Muslim people. He's afraid of anybody who doesn't tell him that everything is going swimmingly and he's the best president that's ever been. It's just pathetic. It is just pathetic. The shame that he subjects this country to, him with his stupid little moolah comments. He knows it's mullah. Just like his dirty father knew the correct pronunciation of Saddam Hussein was Saddam and not Saddam. Sodom. You know, see, thereby trying to conflate the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah with Saddam Hussein. You understand? This is deliberate stuff.
They're moolahs.
What is this, a cattle thing?
Moolahs.
That's a French cow. A moolah. La moo. God. Oh, come on. Don't I even get a smile for that one?
Moolahs. Come on.
It's embarrassing. A multi-billion dollar White House budget that includes a $254 million PR budget, and we can't get somebody to pull the President Roach clip into a corner and say, sir, it's nuclear. Say it with me, nuclear. It's not nuclear. You know, him accusing the Iranians of having a nuclear program, if they had any sense, and they've got sense, they're just not so good with the English language, maybe, I don't know. They ought to come out and say, we want the world to know. We don't have any intention of ever possessing nuclear weapons. We don't even have any nuclear reactors. We don't want any nuclear warheads, any nuclear bombs, any nuclear missiles, any suitcase nuclear bombs. Nothing. We disavow any connection to anything nuclear. And then maybe the world would look up and say, why, look, they're making fun of the moron in the White House. Of course, I suppose that could make him mad enough to kill every last Iranian down to the last little baby in the womb. I mean, Saddam Hussein had a furtive attempt at knocking off his daddy, and that got 100,000 civilians dead.
You know, he tried to kill my daddy.
Oh, I tell you what, let's go ahead and take our break, then we'll come back and go to your calls. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
For the millions of people who work in offices, stay in hotels, and live in apartments, comfort depends on the mechanical systems that heat and cool, that provide ventilation, clean water, and sanitary toilets. If these systems fail, tenant comfort can disappear, and so can a building's reputation and profit. To ensure tenant comfort and safety, the Mechanical Service Contractors of America has joined with the United Association, the Plumbers, Pipe Fitters, and Sprinkler Fitters Union, to do building maintenance right the first time. Union pipe workers receive 10,000 hours of training during apprenticeship and continue to upgrade their skills throughout their working lives. Ensure tenant comfort. Do the job right the first time with Union Pipe Workers. Members of the United Association.
A message from the West Virginia Pipe Trades. For employment opportunities, call 304-346-2558.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or fried, here's Bob Kincaid.
Hey, welcome back. Didn't hurt at all, did it? Listen, before we go back to the phones, just a question. Do you remember how the right-wing morons jumped up and down and flapped their nasty little verminous wings when there was some question about Hillary Clinton's brother making money once? I don't even remember the substance of it, but they had an absolute... screaming blue hissy. I mean, they had kittens with crocheted tails over it. You know, maybe it was a couple of $100. I don't know. I want to know if there is an honest bone in any of these guys' bodies. You know, whether it's that junky Flemball or the sex fetishist O'Reilly or the weird homophobe, the savage wiener. Because, see, there's a story out there that you're not, that we're not hearing much about. President Roachclip has an uncle. They call him Uncle Bucky. Not to be confused by the with the movie of a similar title, William H.T. Bucky Bush. He's George Herbert Bush's baby brother. He's an officer in a company called ESSI, Engineered Support Systems, Inc. And as a function of his position with ESSI, Uncle Bucky just got a little richer. Uncle Bucky cashed in his ESSI stock options last month and made about a half a million large. $500,000. What does ESSI do? Well, they supply armor and other materials to U.S. troops. And the stock prices for the company have gone through the roof since along about when President Bonghit started saying, "I've lost my patience." Oh, ESSI stock has just ballooned. And President Pinjoint, his uncle, has decided to cash it in, make a little money, a little pin money. $500,000 profiting from this war. Now, where is Bill O'Reilly and his falafel on this war profiteering on the backs and the blood and the bones and the limbs of American soldiers fighting a dirty war? Where is he? Where's Flush Flemball talking about this war profiteering? Why in the name of heaven can sauce for the goose not be sauce for the gander? I'll tell you why, because they are truly a bunch of rotten hypocrites. That's all there is to it. It's pitiful. It's dirty. It's sinful. It's bad karma, if that's the way you like to phrase it. And it's going to bring down a moral storm on this country that we can't even imagine. In an earnings report issued Tuesday, the firm disclosed that net earnings for the first quarter ending January 31st reached a record $20.6 million, while quarterly revenue hit $233.5 million, up 20% from a year ago. The company boosted its projected annual revenue to between $990 million and $1 billion with a B dollars. Good to be a Bush. It's good to have a war. It's good to make some money. Oh, the shrine they worship at. Mammon. But, of course, as usual, because it's a Republican, they'll get a pass. But, my God, can you imagine the money we'd spend on special investigations and special prosecutors and the constant ringing cacophony of right-wing commentary if this was a Democrat? Oh my God, sunshine, you wouldn't be able to tune it out of your head. The moral outrage. And this guy profits this bush, this family of blood and death, profits on our brothers, our sisters, fathers, aunts, uncles, cousins. People dying for something they perceive to be honor in a dirty war. And they get a pass. Something wrong with America. There's something desperately wrong. Let's go to the phones. Yerachmiel is with us. Hey, Yerachmiel, you're head on. Hello?
Hello.
There you are.
Let me get this headset. Can you read it better?
Much better.
That's good. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm pretty good. I just like to share what I'm celebrating, you know, this holiday Purim.
Yes, I'm very well familiar with it. It has to do with the Book of Esther, does it not?
Right. That reminds me a little bit, I just thought it's a curious thing, reminds me a little bit of Mardi Gras, because it's kind of a merry time.
Right.
Not a somber time.
No, it's no Yom Kippur.
Right. And I just thought it was interesting how they, I know in Mardi Gras they have, you know, men dress up like women and women dress up like men or something like that.
No, they dress up like, they dress up like bananas, they dress up like figs, grapes, you know.
I guess just for fun, you know.
Well, the way Mardi Gras works is it's the last little bit of fun you get to have before Lent kicks in, and Lent right. is all solemn and introspection right. and yeah.
So I guess keep the balance, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of those Hasidic Rebbe. He used to do the roly poly, you know, just to cheer himself up.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't get depressed, but he was always very serious. But if he'd get depressed, he'd do something like that. But it's interesting. It's written in the Jewish law that. There was a boy once, like a teenager, he dressed up like a girl on Purim. But no one else ever did it. But he had put the basin on.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was very shocked. There was a young rabbi present, and he said, well, it's written, you know, you can do it. And some people were making faces. And he did a good job, by the way. it was kind of shocking, you know. And I just thought it was funny how, you know, the Orthodox religion is so strict.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really very strict religion. But it's got things in it that kind of surprise you. And
little moments of permissiveness?
Yeah, and you would think that wouldn't be there at all. And yet you wonder, you know, once you start, once you make room for things, there's all kinds of speculations about what people can do, you know. So mm-hmm. I thought it was very curious how such a strict religion could allow something so wacky. You know, that would shock all the conservative people.
Well, you know, and taking the larger view of things, Yerachmiel, the so-called religion of love and peace and tolerance, you know, Christianity, how it can apparently have lying within its breast a willingness to go out and indiscriminately murder civilians and say that it's Jesus's will. You know, that's every bit as shocking, isn't it?
Well, that's more shocking.
Yeah. Horrifying.
More shocking to do that than to somebody to dress up, you know, for joke.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about Purim the most, I think, is that Mordechai will not bow down to Haman.
Yeah.
And that's what really gets me excited about it. Because I think, you know, most of society is bowing down to Haman.
It's just a question of who Haman is.
Right. Well, whatever establishment, conformity. And then, but Haman got so angry, he wanted to kill all Mordecai's people. And so then there was a big crisis.
And that was where the intercession of Esther came
right.
from.
Right. And it just, you know, this is something, I mean, I see this constantly. And Nietzsche, the reason I, you know, someone once criticized me for reading Nietzsche.
I don't know why.
He was a Jewish Christian, and he said, well, why don't you read the Psalms of David? I said, well, I've been reading that for 30 years. I said, I want to read something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's more interesting. I can't read the same thing all the time. Maybe I'll come back to the Psalms of David someday. What I liked about Nietzsche is that he was not afraid to challenge everyone and question everything. And,
Well, that's the nature of learning, isn't it? If you're not willing to question, you're not going to learn anything.
Well, I don't know. Most of this world, my experience, most people I've met or heard of, and with few exceptions, they just go along with something.
Yeah.
Like everyone belongs to a cult or a clique or some kind of conformity. And if I had $1 million, maybe I might pay you $1 million to show me where I could find a genuine human being. I mean,
it'd
be so rare, you know.
Yeah, or an enlightened person.
An enlightened person or a person who's willing to take the trouble to be enlightened.
Yeah.
You know, to go through the trouble to do it. Because, you know, Nietzsche ended up very lonely.
Well, you know, you mentioned that. That reminds me of another man who wound up very lonely, and that's Mark Twain.
Really?
And
what happened to him?
Oh, mercy. His, you know, for a man who gave us so much humor and hilarity, laughter, joy, goodness, his was a tortured life. By the time he died, virtually his entire family had been taken from him. But somewhere along the way, he wrote a very short sentence, and it is freighted with truth. And that is, be good, and you'll be lonely.
Oh, really?
Be good.
Christ, I didn't know he said that.
Be good, and you'll be lonely.
So what happened? His family died, or what?
Oh, yeah. His wife died. Then his daughter was stricken with some sort of, I don't know if it was a blood clot or a brain aneurysm. Maybe it was scarlet fever.
What happened? He didn't have any friends or something?
Oh, no, I mean, by the time he died, I mean, he was an American institution. He was well-loved, but there was no one left who had been near him. Everything had been chipped away and taken away and deathed away until he, and you know, he was also a man of his times. And if you ever get an opportunity, you should read his book, The Damned Human Race.
I read Letters from the Earth.
Letters from the Earth will, yeah, that'll curl your hair, too. His essays in regard to what we did in the Philippines at the start of the 20th century, which almost mirror what we're doing in Iraq. The War Prayer is one of the most brilliant anti-war pieces that have ever been written.
Well, what happened? I mean, when he got old, I understand losing family, but he was just had nobody to. I mean,
no,
sit around and talk to himself, and that was it.
Yeah, pretty much. And he had had terrible financial setbacks all his life. I mean, my heavens, the man was, I think, in his 70s. When he had to go on a worldwide speaking tour just to pay his debts because he was so moral, he refused to declare bankruptcy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, to my way of thinking, he's about as close to an American saint as you can get.
Yeah, I read Letters from the Earth. It's provocative. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says or everything that Nietzsche says.
No.
But it's very provocative.
Well, I don't think we're called upon to agree, Rockmill. Right. We're called upon to think.
Right.
And
people don't want to do that. I mean, I always wish some brilliant scientist could figure out a way to make apes talk. You know, so do something to their vocal apparatus.
Yeah.
Because they're really very smart. They just don't have the vocal apparatus that we have.
Right. Well,
if they did, I would be very interested to know what they say, because I have a feeling they would sound like the average person.
Or maybe it's a bunch of Buddhas. We don't know.
I know. Hey, I could con this guy out of banana. Hey, yeah. Watch this. You know, and they'd start manipulating, you know, with their words, manipulating and just, you know, being all phony,
well,
getting the bananas.
You know? It's so funny you would bring that up, Rockmill. There was a story in the news a couple of days ago. Coco the gorilla, I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's the one that has been taught to speak in sign language.
Yeah.
And a couple of women were introduced into her cage, people, you know, studying her. And the first thing Coco told them in sign language was, take off your shirts.
Huh.
So maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Hey, I'm going to do you out of that banana. Take off your shirt.
Yeah. I see the clock is getting towards 8:30.
Yeah, we're there. We're at the bottom of the hour break.
Can't keep up with the time.
No, you want to hold over? You got anything else?
Yeah, just something along these lines.
Okay, well,
just a few more minutes.
Okay, well, just stand by, and I'll hold you over, and we'll come back to you out of the break, all right?
Okay.
All right, thanks, Rockmill. All right, it is break time. I always look forward to Jim Hightower's commentaries. That's coming up. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I love smart conversation. That's what makes this so wonderful. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Senate Finance Chairman Walt Helmick says he could not vote for a bond sale that would erase pension debts unless the problems causing the debt are repaired. Helmick says that without a workable way to restructure pensions of teachers, state troopers, and judges, he doesn't think a bond sale would fly with voters. Nearly all state-run pension plans are in trouble, with the exception of the public employees' retirement system, which is funded at about 72%. The teacher's pension plan is funded at 19%. That's the worst in the country. And Helmick hopes Governor Manchin will outline a plan to revitalize the state's pension systems so they can stay solvent. Police officers from across the state gathered at the Capitol yesterday to honor fallen comrades and discuss plans for future legislation. In a ceremony at the Capitol, a bagpiper played Amazing Grace while the names of officers killed in the line of duty in the past 10 years were read. The State Department of Environmental Protection's Chief of Air Quality Permitting will take over the Division of Water and Waste Management March 14th. DEP Secretary Stephanie Temmermeyer yesterday announced the promotion of 33-year-old Lisa McClung. McClung has been Deputy Director of DEP Division of Air Quality. She started with the agency in 1994 and worked as a permit writer in the Air Division. West Virginia lawmakers are considering a bill that will allow officials investigating child and elderly abuse, domestic violence, and animal cruelty cases to share information. Senator John Unger from Berkeley County says that could help humane officers investigating a suspected animal abuse complaint determine if a suspect had previous charges regarding domestic violence or abuse, which could push the investigation forward. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Tonight, snow likely. Not much accumulation expected. Temperatures will fall to the mid-20s tonight. And then for Friday, partly cloudy, mid-30s. Friday night, a slight chance of snow showers late in the night with a low near 23. And then Saturday and Sunday both look to be partly cloudy, high near 40 Saturday. And Sunday's high in the mid-40s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack.
WWNR Beckley.
It's always a joy to see arch-conservative politicians preach about the evils of big government, then turn right around and try to shove ever more intrusive government down our throats. The Bushites are expert at this hypocrisy, but you can find plenty of cases right where you live. Here in Austin, the Texas legislature is a hothouse for sprouting hypocritical conservatives who want to use the full power of government to enforce their own peculiar agendas. Take Representative Vicky Truitt, a Dallas-area Republican who is pushing a bill to deal with this critical problem. Weathercasters on TV and radio who call themselves meteorologists when, in fact, they do not have four-year BS degrees in meteorology. Luckily, Truitt intends to protect us by making it a crime to use the meteorologist title without having that BS degree. Never mind that most weather people in the media don't have meteorology degrees or need them. Truitt insists that this is a crucial matter of public safety. A non-BS forecaster, she says, might make a mistake and imperil lives, though she cannot name a single instance of this actually having happened. Not to be outdone, Representative Brian Hughes is another so-called conservative who wants the state to step forcefully into a legal void. It seems that Texas has no law banning nude youth camps. It's also true, however, that Texas has no nude youth camps. Nonetheless, Hughes is so uptight about the mere possibility that some nudist camp somewhere might someday allow whole families, including their children, to walk around unclothed in the privacy of the camp that he wants the great state of Texas to throw up a preemptive ban. He rants that such camps are magnets for pedophiles. Really? How does he know that? He cites no actual cases, but still, He says government must intrude. This is Jim Hightower saying, these politicos aren't conservatives, they're wackos.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
We're back. About 22 minutes before 9 o'clock. The snow seems to have let up a little bit. Maybe I won't have to ski home after all. That would be very nice. Urocneal stayed through the break with us. Hey, Urocneal, welcome back.
Hello again. I was hoping to get a chance to share this quotation with you from Nietzsche, Zarathustra. He said, Zarathustra walks amongst men as one who walks amongst animals. A lot of people wouldn't like to hear that.
No, probably not.
But I'll tell you the truth. I'm reminded of that just about every day, and people would say, well, you stuck up. All right, you know, I'm stuck up.
Well, Socrates that said, or Plato, Socrates via Plato, that the unexamined life is not worth living? And if you examine it, you're going to be sad sometimes.
I think so. You're going to run into some problems there. I'll tell you the truth. It gets kind of heavy at times. I think that these people have to be experts at what you do about it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, a person could lose their integrity, or they could go off the deep end, or I don't know what.
Well, I mean, I go back and forth on the whole Anne Frank. I still believe that people are basically good. You know that line. I don't know that I believe that anymore. How good?
That's a good question. I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, because I think I've been struggling with that for a long time, you know, and I've reached a point where I believe that there's some good left. It's kind of collectively it comes through, because, you know, we still have civilization, so you still have roads, you know.
Yeah.
People stay, if they stay in the line, they won't run each other over or something, or have a collision. You know, I mean, and that's as far as it goes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's well and good, but when a nation is willing under the flimsiest of pretenses to get behind someone who is willing to go and murder 100,000 civilians who never did him a moment's harm, where's the good?
There's a few people complaining about it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Look, people are crossing the ocean. They're going to help the tsunami victims.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm very skeptical about all that stuff. For some reason, there's some kind of, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's glamour or what. There's this tendency to go help the tsunami victims. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's something missing here in our society.
Well, the missing link, and us talking about gorillas, the missing link, I think, is that we let our good out only I guess you're not know when it is demanded of us. You know, the world has responded spectacularly to the tsunami disaster, and one tsunami's worth of death takes place on the African continent every week or 2 weeks, and we got nothing to say about that.
Well,
out of sight, out of mind.
My impression of I just feel there's something. We mentioned Mark Twain. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, you take Nietzsche, for example. he just experienced towards the end mostly solitude. And
well, what he pondered drove him mad, did it not?
Well, yeah, it's true. But, you know, now people are reading his books. But there's something, I mean, there seems to be that the human race, because I know whenever I experience the human race, you turn on the radio and you hear about stories about all the wonderful things that people do.
Mm-hmm.
And you read about it in the magazines and you read about it in the newspaper and then on the TV, you know. And something missing here. I mean, you see the people in the towns and the cities and out in the country and all over. There's something wrong. There's something. There's some inherent fear and hatred and hostility. And some of them say, well, you know, he's imagining. I'm not imagining it.
No.
It's there. There are people. When you see somebody going down the road and he waves at you or something, that's the exceptional person.
Yeah.
That, you know, you know, it's usually, my experience is usually, when I see somebody, there's times, for example, I'm standing on the side of the road waiting for cars to stop going by, whatever, you know, and there are very unusual times. Some people, they surprise you. They'll just stop. There's nobody else around, you know. They'll just, and it's not at a corner or anything, you know.
Right.
And they insist that they let you cross. It's so, I mean, it makes you think, because you were saying, you know, you're beginning to doubt if the good is there, you know.
Yeah.
And those exceptional things, it's almost puzzling when you see something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have another fellow that calls the show from time to time, You Rock, Neil, and he talks about the age in which we live as being the winnowing of souls. To the extent that, you know, the Hindu word for great soul is Mahatma, and that's why they called Mohandas Gandhi Mahatma. He was a great soul. And that somehow or another that greatness of soul is disappearing in this
right.
age.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've got my little pet blame targets for it, corporatism. The media, the television culture.
Well,
why talk to your family when, you know, you can't talk to your family? Desperate Housewives is on, man. Be quiet.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Everybody gets into their own myself, mine, to hell with you. Well, that's, you know, really, when you meet exploitation, I think it's everything. I don't know if it's just one thing you can blame, but the exploitation, there are people out there who try to suck you into cults and cliques
yeah.
and phony friendships, you know, and stuff like that. And they're all vicious. You know, and there was a lot of that stuff amongst the hippies.
Yeah.
Where they go, you know, love, peace, this, that, and that. They were the shrewdest people.
And the next thing you get, Charles Manson. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. How did Charles Manson relate to that?
Well, it was a little hippie commune, and the next thing you know, it's peace and love and blah, 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 blah.
Started out with peace and love.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, they're carving stuff in their faces and carving unborn babies out of Sharon Tate.
Well, how about that Rajneesh?
Oh,
poisoning people.
Yeah, Jim Jones in Guyana.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. The idiots with the tennis shoes that were killed themselves to go get on the spaceship that was trailing the comet.
The Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I had a weird experience recently where I met some very strange people. They invited me in, and you know, okay, it wasn't the House of Dracula, but I'm beginning to wonder about that.
Yeah.
They were very friendly. I went in there. We had like. In Yiddish of Fabring, like a hootenanny. And like, I don't know, they played instruments and I sang some Yiddish songs. It was very interesting. Because how often do I sing Yiddish songs for people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were very interesting people. They had a European background and they were obviously, you know, both of them played the violin. Anyway, there was a bunch of, but there were several people in there and they all seemed, you know, they had like, it was like a movement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then at some point, they wanted me to contact some man and his wife who happened to be Israeli. I think these are some kind of peacenik movement. But I said, well, what is this for? I mean, that doesn't mean anything to me that somebody is Israeli, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
You know, like the guy down the block is American, but he doesn't want to know me and I don't want to know him. And I said, well, what is he about? You know, I've met, I've known more Israelis than I could have possibly count. You know, I grew up, I had Israelis were my teachers. I had fellow classmates, you know, as Israelis. Neighborhoods full of Israelis.
Yeah, there's no novelty.
Yeah, and I don't like most of them, and most of them don't care for me either. You know, so I said, eventually they gave me his number. They told me, I kept on repeating this thing, well, he's against war. They've got these peaceniks who are angry at Israel, even Israelis. They don't like war. I mean, I also don't like war, but it's just the context of Israel not to like war is like saying Israel shouldn't exist, and I guess they wouldn't if they didn't like war, you know. But the thing is, I never called him. I tried to speak to these people about it because they wanted me. He was supposed to pick me up and take me over, and I was going to go there and play Yiddish music or something. He lives in some hollow somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what's going on? I mean, it's like a blind date. Anyway, let me tell you something. Little by little, they started shunning. They were so friendly. Welcome. You know, they were just so friendly with me. Around that point, they started shunning me.
Yeah.
Like, they would hardly talk to me. They would look away from me. They wouldn't invite me. I'd go there, and they'd stand by the entrance, and they wouldn't invite me in anymore, you know.
Oh, my.
I said to myself, these freaks are a damn cult. I would never do that to somebody. I mean, I talk to people the same way. If I have a problem with somebody, I'll say, look, you know, I think we have a problem to talk about. And a lot of people don't like that. Once you tell them that you want to talk something over, and you're willing to be peaceful and talk it over, that really turns them off.
Oh, well, I mean, that's in the nature of the cult, isn't it, Yerachim?
But a lot of people are, I think most people I've met in my life, they will never talk things out with people, you know?
No.
And they let the problems go, and I don't know, that's just the way people are.
And they fester, and they get bigger, and they get sore, and, you know, ugh.
Well, what we're doing right now, nobody, is anybody talking, who the hell are these people who are blowing themselves up, blowing up Iraq? What the hell do they want from these Iraqi people who are just ordinary people who are trying to get a bite to eat?
Well, but see, if you try, especially with the right wing, if you try to analyze Iraq Meal, for instance, what would make someone be so desperate as to strap a dynamite belt on and go blow themselves up?
That's a good question, and nobody wants to address it.
Well, no, it's not that they don't want to address it, Yerachim. If you try to address that,
you're unpatriotic.
You're unpatriotic.
Right.
You know, they're doing it because they're animals. They're doing it because they're evil. They do it because they hate the fact that we have home mortgages. Okay?
They're jealous of us.
Yeah.
And they want to destroy America because we're doing better than them.
Right. You know, because we got Frisbees and wheat checks or whatever.
I don't know about the. I don't
but,
know.
But
I,
do, you,
I,
do you understand what I'm saying? If you can't give some facile, jingoistic answer, you're unpatriotic. You know, consider. I mean, the Palestinian territories. Okay, consider these people. They're so desperate they throw rocks. Children, women will strap dynamite around their bodies and go and kill other Israeli civilians, people whom science has shown they share more genetic material to the point that they're almost undistinguishable from one another, the Jews and the Palestinians. And yet they will blow each other up out of desperation. Maybe that stops when you try to figure out why they would do it.
Well, where's the dialogue?
There is no dialogue. The dialogue is the kid that blows himself up with the dynamite and the other barely more than a kid who gets in a helicopter gunship that we sold him and goes and puts a rocket into a baby's room.
I'll tell you where the dialogue is. Let me tell you where it is. I was born a Jew, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I became Orthodox at the age of 13. You know, I studied. I became more Orthodox. I studied more. I remained Orthodox until I was about 30. And that was a big conflict I had. I just knew too much, and there was too much, it was too transparent at that point for me to hang on to it, you know, in all honesty. So I quit Orthodoxy, and I just started my life from scratch. And I feel, you know, if you can't have a dialogue with your own people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How in the damn hell are you supposed to have one with somebody else? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I don't know what you want to face. That's why I like Christians. And I'm going to be serious with you. I don't like most Christians. What I do find, those few individuals, and they are rare individuals, you don't meet them every day. But if you find one or two people who have, you know, a feeling of charity, and of course they don't work, if they don't work, if they know that Jesus is not God, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they must be a genius or something.
Well,
but there are a few people who just have a good heart, and they have sensible people. There are very few of them, and they like me.
Yeah.
They like me, mm-hmm. and they're very happy to meet me, and I'm happy to meet them, and that's all I ask for. And what about a thousand or a million other people who don't want to know me from Adam? To hell with them.
Yeah, sure.
You know, to hell with them. If they can't, I mean, I certainly would be their friend, but you can't. And you can't, I mean, people think, oh, the Jews. What do you mean the Jews? The one Jew wouldn't give the next Jew a time of day. I got this Yiddish culture magazine here. And they paint up this picture of the Jews and the Yiddish books, you know, they make it look like it's one big happy family, you know what I mean?
Monolithic.
Huh?
Monolithic.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're talking about. I lived in Brooklyn for most, you know, for 30 years, more or less, you know, around that area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Jewish people very seldom, you know, singing Yiddish songs or gathering books that are being lost, you know, this guy was gathering, he saved a million Yiddish books because people would throw them away, but he made it sound like everyone was so nice and caring and friendly, and they invite you to their house. So you got to bring three people, one to eat and talk, and two other people to carry the books, you know.
Yeah.
He was joking in his article he wrote. What the hell is he talking about? I don't know a Jew who would give me the time of day or anyone else, let alone invite him to their house. Be friendly, like the happy family.
But in some ways, you're far too narrow. What I mean by that is, you know, you're speaking to a Jewish context in that, man, that's not Jewish, that's not Muslim, that's not the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Scots. That's people.
No, I'm giving you an example.
Oh, I know, but I mean, by example, but by the same token, it's almost archetypal, all right? It's universal.
You're saying it pertains to everyone.
Yeah.
But I can't.
You start.
I can't testify.
No.
Experience because I'm not Italian.
Right.
I don't know what it's like to be Italian.
Right. But you know.
I can only testify to, you know, and I'm using it. It's a fact. I'm using it as an example.
Right.
So
but
that
you,
I'm not limiting it to
right.
Jewish
but
people.
You know what it is to be human. And these are human traits. I mean, we started off talking about. You know, what if the apes could talk?
Yeah.
The movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, with those evil, murderous chimps dancing around that big rock. And you mentioned Nietzsche, and of course, the music through 2001 is Richard Strauss's Also Sprach Zarathustra.
Right.
And I mean, there's a remarkable synchronicity or synthesis or nexus in all of that somewhere, and you know maybe the one message was that, you know, we are all those murderous chimps dancing around that rock. I mean, it doesn't, no matter how fast a car we build or how big a bomb we've got, that there is something.
We're sophisticated chimps.
Yeah,
we're very sophisticated.
Hairless apes.
Well, we had the, you know, I saw that movie, The Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it as a this was years ago, you know, and I took it as a parable.
Yeah.
Just as a parable. I mean, I thought it was pretty easy to, you know, to read what it meant.
Yeah, it kind of came at you like a brick in the head.
So I guess Jesus is saying that you could overcome all of this and you could be the light.
Yeah.
Well, you got a tough job.
Yeah, and but I mean, that's why you get better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. You know what I mean? There's a lot of darkness, and the light doesn't go very far.
No, I think the light, I think it's not really much noticed, you know, no matter what. I think that light is very faint, and people notice it very little.
And there are a lot of people who would just as soon put it out. Yurok Mill, we have to close it at that, but enjoyed the conversation. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I hope something good comes in besides gloominess.
you got to find something to laugh at.
I guess you got to figure out why everything is wonderful, even though you think it isn't.
Yeah, well, okay.
I don't know. If you can do that, you're all right. Well, okay, I'll see you later.
Take care. Later. All right. And for those of you on hold, please stick around. Coming back out at the top of the hour break, back to the phones. I promise, you have my word on it. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
There in times of war.
And today marks the anniversary at the end of the Korean War.
We were there in times of peace.
Wildfires in California are now under control. Thank you for the efforts.
For more than 50 years, the Air Force Reserve has been there when America needed us most.
But his greatest achievement was the Medal of Honor he received after Vietnam.
In other news, a family of four was saved during the hurricane last night by an Air Force Reserve rescue team. The daring rescue...
And in the War on Terror, soldiers were airlifted today to a hospital in Germany.
From defending freedom around the world to protecting people and property here at home, we are there. We are the Air Force Reserve. To find out more about the Air Force Reserve, call 800-257-1212 or visit us online at afreserve.com. Air Force Reserve, above and beyond.
Presenting another great moment in firstgov.gov history. Mrs. Marilyn Gorman applies for Social Security benefits online before breakfast.
Damn, got him. Pancakes, anyone?
Visit firstgov.gov today. It's government made easy.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
You playing hide and seek with the kids?
No. They spilled chocolate milk on the new couch, and I'm counting so that I won't yell at them.
You bought a new couch?
Patience. Use it before you lose it.
10, 9.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
For many Americans, the dream of owning a home is out of reach because they lack a down payment. What most Americans don't know is that there are grants available from a nonprofit organization that cover your down payment and closing costs. Plus, the grants have no geographic and minimal income restrictions. If you want to turn your next rent payment into your first mortgage payment, call 1-866-NO-DOWN-P. That's 1-866-NO-DOWN-P. Or visit us online at www.neighborhoodgold.com.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the top. It's 9 o'clock.
You have, there's an amazing situation going on here in Beckley, and I alluded to it a little bit the other night.
Right.
They're going to build that educational mall out there by the airport exit.
Right.
Where they did the earthwork and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 67,000 square foot building. It's going to house, I believe, 8 colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall, Bluefield, WVU Tech, different colleges.
Yes, yeah, whole laundry list.
Okay. There's a group, Forward Southern West Virginia, that is doing this. Now, that money comes from the federal government. I believe it comes from Health and Human Resources. They are claiming that that is not prevailing wage. They say that Davis-Bacon doesn't apply.
Why? It's government money going into a government building, right?
Right, exactly. But not all federal money, is covered by Davis-Bacon.
I understand.
My argument is, fine. Davis-Bacon doesn't apply. The money is being gone, goes through the Raleigh County Commission. Mm-hmm. Raleigh County Commission's taking the bids, all this. Raleigh County Commission is a political subdivision of the state of West Virginia.
It most assuredly is.
Therefore, state prevailing wages apply.
Yes.
They say no. Okay, now the fight or the argument will pursue. What is ironic about this thing is they're building an educational facility. And they think it's a great idea to build this to eliminate, if they're trying to eliminate prevailing wage also by saying that this isn't a prevailing wage job. If they eliminate prevailing wage, they will eliminate the largest privately funded educational institution in this country. And that's called union apprenticeship programs.
Yeah.
Now, is that not ironic?
Up to your neck, it's ironic.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know.
Who's pushing this? I mean, whose brilliant idea is it to screw workers this way?
In my opinion, it's, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he needs educated more, but I've tried to do that, and he really doesn't want to talk about it. It's this Jesuit priest, Father
Acker.
Tom Acker.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other day I told you about the jobs fair that we had.
Yeah.
And the 1,000-plus people that came there.
Right.
Those people came there to get prevailing wage jobs.
Yeah.
You know. Now, if any of those people are listening, contact your senators and representatives and tell them to back the prevailing wage law.
Yeah.
Everybody, I said this at the public meeting down at the Greenbrier, everyone's not going to college. Everyone doesn't want to go to college. You need people to build things.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have those people properly trained and be able to go out into the workplace and be very productive? Make a living wage, have health insurance, and have a pension plan. What is wrong with that?
And support a family.
Exactly.
Pay taxes.
Exactly. I mean, these people, and I've said this before, the main goal, when you talk to any economic development people, which Father Acker's is, or supposedly is, what do they want? They want good-paying jobs with benefits.
Well, I mean, that, isn't that part and parcel also? I mean, this man is obviously involved with the church. Isn't that part and parcel of social justice?
It would seem to me. I mean, after his name, it says J.S.
Society of Jesus.
Yes. And, you know, is this what Jesus would do?
You mean, do people out of a decent wage?
In a way, I understand it. Some people think he was a carpenter.
Last time. I heard.
I bet he'd have liked prevailing wage. You know?
Yeah, no kidding. No, you're absolutely right, and I'm astonished by the idea that there's this guy's a Jesuit and he's anti-working people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, and I'll try to talk to the people more. I mean. You know, we're involved. The Department of Labor, I know, is involved and, you know, has written letters that they think that this is a state prevailing wage job.
Is it a coming litigation issue? I mean, is somebody going to wind up getting sued to compel them one way or the other?
No. It's, I don't know about sued. You know, it'll go to court. This is all part of the prevailing wage challenge. You know, that goes through, administrative law judge, then district court. What's Bloom? District court?
No, he's a circuit judge in Kanawha County.
Circuit court. And then they'll take it to the Supreme Court, which, you know, 2 years ago, the Supreme Court refused to hear it. I don't believe that'll happen.
Benji wants to hear it.
Huh?
Benji wants to hear it.
I'm sure.
Sure
he does.
If there's an opportunity to put the wood to a worker, man,
well,
that's
Benji
what he's there
will be
for.
There, won't he?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Exactly.
Any guy who would exploit the rape of little boys would be more than happy to screw a worker out of his paycheck.
Right. And remember who this guy takes his marching orders from, man. You know, the Godfather.
Yeah, the Godfather of coal.
Yeah, exactly. Don Coleone.
Yeah. It just never ends, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, it, you know, we have study after study that proves, and there are fine examples, you know, because states have believed, you know, people and eliminated prevailing wage. Kentucky did it.
Yeah.
I think it was 8 years later they reinstated it because it had, you know, the price of everything, of building schools and stuff didn't go down.
No.
It just got less quality. The
right.
contractor made more money, you know.
Probably a little more dirty politics entered the bidding process.
I'm sure. More hands got greased or palms or whatever you want to call
sure.
it, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And prevailing wage is good. You know, for someone to be able to make a good living and have health insurance and have a pension and be able to go buy new cars and, you know, a house, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So, like I say, anybody out there that works prevailing wage, union or non-union,
yeah,
you know, we need your help. You know, well, help yourself.
Right.
You know, help yourself. If, well, like I say, these people have to realize if it wasn't for the union, you would not. And the non-union people really think it's great because, just say for round numbers, a prevailing wage carpenter is $30 an hour.
Okay.
A union carpenter gets $20, $5 goes to health insurance for him and his family, and $5 goes in his pension.
Right.
The non-union guy gets $30 in his check because his employer doesn't have insurance or a pension plan. So when, you know, which is a legislation that the ACT Foundation has introduced that their employer be required to provide them with health insurance if they're on a prevailing wage job.
Oh, that's communism.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is, man. You know, a bunch of socialists.
Yeah, yeah, just running around trying to
make things better.
Trying
you know?
To beat up on those poor rich people.
Exactly. Don't you just hate that?
Yeah, my heart's breaking. Okay.
So anyway, I wanted to you know, I wanted to bring that point out and thank Ed for his phone calls.
Yeah, Ed's good people.
You know, I'm sorry I keep interrupting.
That's okay. Go right ahead.
What they're talking about with this prevailing wage issue and what, as far as I'm concerned, Forward Southern West Virginia is doing or trying to do is no different than what's happening to the miners down at Campbellton.
Right.
You know, the corporate America is saying to the workers of the United States, you are not worth what you're getting. You're not worth a living wage. You're not even worth us honoring a contract with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we signed a contract and we told you we were going to give you a pension and health insurance, but.
But that doesn't mean we got to honor that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who are you? A worker?
Yeah, sit down, shut up, you know,
and keep working.
Keep working and, right. and take what we give you and be damn glad we're giving it
right.
to
you. So, you know, construction, I mean, I could hear the phone calls now, well, why can we pay a flagger, you know, $30 an hour? And construction workers at any time, given time in this country make up approximately 5% of the workforce. Construction workers are 20% of the job-related fatalities.
That says something.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's a dangerous work.
Yeah.
They should be compensated.
Yeah. You know, I kind of feel the same way about any important work. All work is important.
All work is important. All work is honorable.
Yeah.
You know, and
unless, of course, you are taking some guy's job. I'm sorry, I do.
Oh, that's not honorable at all.
No.
No, that has absolutely no honor. No honor.
You know,
I
just to shift gears a little bit, you know, I cut a lot of slack as far as Massey's concerned. You know, the fact that it's a non-union job doesn't make them scabs.
Oh, no, it doesn't. No,
but,
it doesn't.
But when they move into a union job and eject the union miners, who are just as hard a worker as they are, just as human as they are, bleed just as red, white, and blue as they do, then they're scabs.
That's, yeah.
And that's what they've done down at Campbellton.
I know.
And
yes, they are scabs. And, you know, that's not a word that I use.
No.
But that's what a scab is. You know, there's there's people in my organization that have these blow up rats.
Yeah.
You know, I've got in pretty serious arguments. Well, I mean, they call me up and want me on a, you know, do you want to do the speaker with us? And my rule is if you leave that rat home,
yeah,
you know, but Donna Cannelton, I'd ride that rat.
Yeah. blow up an army of those suckers down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because that's what you are. That's a different situation. And but a guy going to work to feed his family, well, just like you say,
yeah,
you know, a regular non-union guy. But that Cannelton story is a little different mode there.
Yeah, it's dirty. It's and you know, I was proud of Cecil for standing up today.
I was too.
And I think Ed had it right. It's time to stand up and be counted, and he stood up.
Ed had it exactly right. People have, well, it's time to make a stand. You know, and like say, union or non-union, if you can't see the writing on the wall and what these people are doing, look what they did it to steelworkers up in Wheeling.
Yeah.
They're doing it to coal miners down here.
Well, and they did it to steelworkers up in Wheeling, and they did it on our nickel.
Yes.
You know, we gave them $8 million.
That's
bucks.
A double whammy.
Yeah, we gave them $8 million.
Right.
They turned around, they canned the workers, and they gave themselves $4 million in bonuses.
And then we paid their workers' comp debt, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
you mean to tell me we can't get that money? Why aren't we getting that money back, those bonuses?
Because they don't want to.
Well.
And, you know, they're them and we're us. I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, here, our new governor ought to go after that money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we could use the money in the hey, that's $4 million we don't have to sell bonds on.
Exactly.
$8 million we don't have to sell, whatever it was.
Exactly.
And I'm all for cutting that rate because I'm going to be paying for that for the next 20 years.
Which one, the workers' comp thing?
Yeah.
That they totally dumped on us?
Yeah.
Yeah. And are they ever, well, would you rather have a payroll tax? What's the difference?
That's what you did.
I mean, right.
You know, I got into a discussion the other evening with a fellow. We were talking about the food tax, and he said, well, you know, okay, eliminate the food tax. How are you going to replace the revenue? I said, as far as I'm concerned, Don Blankenship can pay the lot of it.
Exactly. Well, did you hear Dr. Bill's idea today?
That's brilliant.
I think that's brilliant.
And it's not at all difficult, Wayne. If you look at the way we look at property taxes in this state.
Yep.
What, there's three or four classes? Add another class and call it equities.
There you go.
And you pay a tax on the ownership of your equities every year, just like you and me have to go to the courthouse and pay a tax because we own a 10-year-old car.
Right.
You know, they never stop that. If that car gets to be 100 years old, they're still going to get a property tax out of it.
Exactly. And, you know, there's another thing, too. How about them broker fees?
Tax them.
There you go.
Yeah,
Dr. Bill came up with one there.
Yeah, and heaven knows how much. Of course, you know there'd be crying and torchlight.
Oh, mashing of teeth.
Yeah, and the Lark's Vomit Canape crowd would get the torches and the pitchforks out and head for the Capitol yesterday. How dare you tax our stock ownership?
Right.
The nerve of you! Can't you raise the food tax on the poor people a little bit more?
Like to see there is not enough room at the Capitol because there's too many construction workers down there trying to tell them to save prevailing wage.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it would.
Well, and I mentioned this clean elections bill that we've been following.
Yes.
It had its second reading today.
Yes, it did.
And we've got a column of people, you know, the usual suspects that support it. You would expect them to. Amores, Doyle, Caputo, Craig, DeLong, Manchin, Moore.
And the ACT Foundation, I know, is behind this.
Is behind this, too. And in the...
Now, aren't we trying to... We're trying to do a couple of sample counties or something?
Yeah, pilot projects.
Pilot projects.
And they're going to be, I guess, what, single delegate districts?
It seemed to me, yeah, two delegates and a senator.
Yeah.
Going to do. Or what I read.
I hope it's not a deliberate effort to
kill it.
Yeah, to make it fail, because right there in the I've got five columns here: strong, likely, not sure, less likely, and no. Guess who's almost at the top of the no list? Virginia man.
For the clean elections?
Yeah. She is so opposed to it, it's not even funny.
And what is her reasoning?
Because, when I spoke to her, it makes it seem like all politicians are dirty.
If you ain't dirty, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Right. It was 12 to 10.
And I'm not calling her dirty.
No, but it was 12 to...
What kind of reasoning is that?
Wayne, it was 12 to 10 to get it out of the House Judiciary Committee, and she was one of the 10 who voted against it. I don't know why she hates the idea of cleaning up our campaign finance system. That's like voting for Don Blankenship's $1,000 hug and kiss. I can't take a political process seriously that is polluted with that kind of filthy money.
Right. Well, I agree.
Because when you've taken Don's $1,000, I know you're not doing the bidding of the people of West Virginia. You're doing the bidding of Don Colleoni.
Yes, you own him. You own him.
Yeah, you're bought. And I don't know that she took his money, but if you're going to stand up for those who do, the heck with you.
Right. And them Don guys don't like to be crossed.
No. You wake up with a horse's head in your bed.
Exactly.
And that's not an ethnic reference. That's a film reference. They expect...
Are you afraid of offending the horses? What's going on?
I don't want to offend that. That's a mafia. Yeah, I don't want to offend my Italian friends.
Neither do I.
But Bob Kiss is on board as a likely supporter. Sally Sussman is in the likely column. My guy Tom Luisos is in the definitely yes.
Where'd you get this list? From talking to them?
No, this came to me from OVEC.
Okay.
And of course the no column is the usual suspects, Mahan, Lidella Rutke, and this John Overington, this creep from the Eastern Panhandle who reintroduced his death penalty bill today. Oh, it just made me want to gag.
Isn't that I thought he got defeated.
Sadly, no.
Well, who was the guy? Isn't he the guy that got the DUI?
I don't know, but he's introduced this death, reinstate the death penalty thing right. For 19 consecutive years.
Is that the right to work guy?
Yeah, that's the right to work guy.
That introduces this, legislation every year?
Yeah, the bloodthirsty idiot.
Yeah, I must be thinking of somebody else. I thought there was somebody up there that...
Pino is definitely opposed to it.
Opposed to it?
Yeah, clean elections.
Okay. Mahan County boy, right?
Yeah. I'm going to remember that.
Yes, yeah.
Stemple from Calhoun, definitely opposed to it.
Okay.
And, of course,
I'm going to talk to Virginia Mann.
Well, somebody
I believe Virginia Mann got AFL-CIO endorsement last election, did she not?
I do believe. That's not a pro-working West Virginia stance to oppose clean elections in West Virginia.
Oh, it is.
And somebody needs to tighten her up.
That's why, that's what's so good about it. And maybe that's what's so scary to people is that you don't have to have a lot of money and rich friends to run.
Yeah, some of these people think it's a career, I guess.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
But the fearless ones, the way I see the people in the strongly yes or very definitely voting for it column, these are people who are strong enough in their beliefs that they think that their ideas can prevail in the marketplace of ideas. Okay.
Exactly.
The people who are definitely opposed, they just want to keep their job, they want the pension, and they're not so sure that their ideas can prevail in the marketplace of ideas.
Right. That's exactly right. But maybe they'll get rid of some of the tongue splitters.
Hey, bless his heart. Staten is in. He's in the definitely going to vote for it.
Is
column.
He?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah, that's proud of him. If we could just get past the tongue splitting.
Well, I think maybe that's what he's trying to do, make that go away.
Well,
hopefully he's sitting somewhere going, why did I do that? And again, you never know.
Well, maybe that thing will go where the death penalty bill goes.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
All right, it's break time, Wayne. Thanks.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye. Covered a lot of ground there. Do yourself a favor. Speak out on the prevailing wage issue. Because you're standing up for somebody that's needing your help, and frankly, who works hard to make this economy go in West Virginia. Don Blankenship doesn't make the economy go. Working people make the economy go. You understand? Stand up with your own ones. Listen, it's time for our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back after that. The phone number, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. American Electric Power has entered into a partnership with the Education Foundation regarding the new Beckley Higher Education Center. The facility, which will be located along I-64 east of Beckley, will serve as a regional campus for 8 colleges and universities. Thanks to the partnership with AEP, the center will also serve as a demonstration site for energy. Mark Dempsey is AEP's Vice President for External Affairs.
Father Thomas Acker approached us some time ago, almost 2 years ago now, I guess, explaining his vision for the center and his desire to make it as high-tech as possible, especially in the energy consumption areas. Obviously, we have an interest in that, so we have been working with him to help identify technologies to incorporate into the building itself.
AEP will provide the new center with advice on available technologies and could assist the new center in securing energy technologies through direct financial support. Governor Manchin says a strong market for natural gas should help make up for the increased severance tax. Manchin spoke to industry members at an independent oil and gas conference yesterday. Under a new law the governor signed last week, natural gas producers will be charged an additional tax of 4.7 cents per thousand cubic feet as part of the effort to raise $230 million a year to pay down a $3 billion shortfall in the state's workers' compensation system. Governor Manchin wants voters to go to the polls June 4th and approve the sale of up to $5.5 billion in pension bonds. The governor had lawmakers introduce a bill yesterday that would set up a special Saturday election for the bond question. The bonds are part of the governor's plan to erase funding shortfalls in several state retirement programs. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy. Tonight, snow likely. Not much accumulation expected, though. Mid-20s. And then for Friday, partly cloudy. Mid-30s. For Saturday, partly cloudy. High near 40. And for Sunday, partly cloudy, with temperatures up into the mid-40s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You asked for it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Tundras, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.5% APR finance. And get a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sale. Triple your saving. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres 5 in Beckley.
On select models with approved credit. Limited term financing. Triple rebates exclude college grad rebate. Dealer retains all rebates and incentives. 30% rebate of a 5-ton range. 220 out of 5.
WWNR Beckley.
He played a sailor on screen and off. His story next on Biography for Radio. Sponsored by Leica Mato.
Emerging research suggests you consume substantial quantities of tomatoes every day to reduce your risk of cancer.
5 tomatoes every day?
To get your daily dose, try Leica Mato.
Day after day.
All the power of 5 whole tomatoes in one little pill. With lycopene and all the other antioxidants found naturally in the tomato.
You're talking 152 tomatoes a month?
The power of 5 tomatoes in one little pill.
That's 1,825 tomatoes a year.
Look for Vitamin Shoppe brand lycopene with Lycomato in your local vitamin shop.
At 8 years old, he joined his family dancing on the vaudeville stage. Later, he gave dance lessons at his own Pittsburgh studio. Destined for bigger things, he headed for New York. After the usual run of small parts, he was tapped for the title role in the hit stage musical Hal Joey. Hollywood beckoned, and his first big role for Me and My Gal established him as a smooth-moving star. He displayed a special knack for choreographing dances, especially for film, such as a duet with himself. In Anchors Away, playing a lusty sailor on leave, he cut a memorable rug with an animated partner, Jerry the Cartoon Mouse. But playing a sailor wasn't enough for this patriotic performer. During World War II, he enlisted in the Navy. After the war, he donned a uniform again, co-directing himself in another sailor-on-the-loose escapade, On the Town. His footwork in An American in Paris earned him an Oscar, and he co-directed one of Hollywood's most beloved musicals.
I'm singing in the rain.
When the era of Hollywood musicals faded, so did his career. But celluloid has forever preserve the fabulous footwork of Gene Kelly. For Biography, I'm Jack Perkins.
Biography is a trademark of A&E.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I am so ready for spring. I'm already thinking about new equipment. When will my local dealer replace snow blowers with string trimmers?
Probably already has. Manufacturers typically introduce new products in the fall, and they start arriving in dealer showrooms in early winter. So take advantage. Go check out the newest technology and designs.
Good idea. I've had my eye on this new lawnmower.
Well, before you blindly follow that eye, make sure it's a match for your lawn's size and contour. For lawns less than a third of an acre, a walk-behind mower can get the job done in about an hour. If you've got more than a half acre, though, a riding lawnmower or lawn tractor is the way to go. And when you go to the dealership, don't be afraid to ask questions.
How about color?
I always like green myself.
I bet you do, Bill.
Matches my lawn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
All right, the final 24 minutes or so of tonight's Thursday night edition of Head On. These weeks do run away from us, don't they? So much going on, so little time. Again, you can go to the OVEC website, or you can go to www.legis.state.wv.us and follow from there to track down what's going on with the Clean Elections Bill. It's HB 2486. If you know someone who is in the no column, I would suggest that you let them know that you are aware they're in the no column and that they had better find the foot of the cross and that it's over in the yes column. And to get there, stand not upon the order of their going, but go at once. Okay? And the no column, again, just to read it off, Armstead, Mann, Rutke, Overington, yeah, that guy's a lost cause. Pino. Now, he's from Fayette County. And he needs to be straightened up. He calls himself a Democrat. Let him know. I'm going to. Blair, Frederick, Howard, Leach, Pethel, Sabania, Stemple, Swartzmiller, H.K. White, Proudfoot, Azinger, and Martin. Those are your definitely no's. I'm just going over the list here. Less likely to vote for it. Well, what a surprise that Linda Sumner is in the ain't going to vote for it column. You know, this, I don't see this as a Democrat or a Republican issue, except for, you know, people who are just lost causes like, you know, John Overington out there jumping up and down screaming for blood because he wants the death penalty in West Virginia. What a sicko. But Linda Sumner says, nah, she doesn't think she's going to vote for it. Somebody needs to tighten her up because, you know, I'm sure that Democrats and Republicans alike voted for her. Come on. Would you like to be able to have a little faith in your electoral process again? This is just a pilot program. It's not... You know, why would people like Virginia Mann and Linda Sumner vote against this when it's only a pilot project? It's a chance to see if it will work. Why would you vote against that? Why would you vote against trying to find a better way to run our government? You got to remember, even if it was passed statewide, clean elections would not. You know, if you want to take Don Blankenship's dirty money, take it. It doesn't compel anyone to participate in this program who doesn't want to. Virginia Mann, you don't want to participate in it? Fine, don't. But for those of us who think that there might be people out there who could serve equally well and not be beholden to corporate West Virginia and various and sundry special interest groups, let them have it that way. Good, well-meaning, decent people who would like to run for office and yet don't want to prostitute themselves out should have that opportunity. Because as it stands, the only good, well-meaning people who can't or who don't have to prostitute themselves out are the independently wealthy ones. And trust me, they're as rare as hen's teeth. There's Minnesota, I think it is, the state of Minnesota, one of their senators, a Democrat, is bowing out because he says he doesn't have time in the United States Senate to be a good senator and servant of the people of Minnesota because he's got to run around prostituting himself to raise funds to stay in office. And I'm sympathetic to that. Now, that's on a national level. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a state level. And we're talking about a pilot project of two delegate districts that have one delegate each and one senatorial district. That's it. It's a pilot project. So, okay, maybe these people hate the idea. But why not let the pilot project have a chance? There is no voting against this bill, HB 2486, Clean Elections, the pilot project. There is no valid, viable reason. There is no intellectually defensible or justifiable position that says voting no is the right thing to do on this bill. In my mind, it cannot. A vote against this bill cannot be justified. Think of the people that we might wind up having in the political process if they knew that they could enter it without having to run around and prostitute themselves. And I don't think that's too strong a language, prostitute. How effective of a representative are you if you're running around with your hand out all the time? My God, you people that think that the bureaucracy's too big, look what happens if this bill passes. In these pilot project areas, look at the reduction you're going to have in paperwork in terms of campaign finance filings. Seems like a pretty good idea, doesn't it? It seems rather petty to say I'm not going to support the bill because it makes it seem like we're all dirty. That's a little Shakespearean for my taste. That's me thinks she doth protest too much. So go either to the state website or you can go to ovec.org and find out more. There's a list there. Contact your legislator. You know, if there's someone who is actually supporting this bill, call them and thank them and tell them you are aware of it. You know, let Bob Kiss know. Let Sally Sussman know that you appreciate the fact that they're standing up for the possibility of cleaning up the electoral process in West Virginia. Let Tom Luisos know. Okay? And if you're in her district and you support the idea of uncorrupting the political process, let Virginia Mann and Linda Sumner know that you don't appreciate them standing in the way of decent progress toward real electoral reform. Okay? Now let's go back to the phones. Gary's back with us. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, there's so many good things in paper today, and that was one of them, the Clean Elections Bill. I'm behind you 100%. I think it's just a travesty that anybody wouldn't support this.
Well, can you, Gary? I mean, I'm not being facetious or smart alecky or over the top. I can't think of a reason not to support it.
Well, they're protecting the good old boy network, and you know the cash coming in the back door. That's what it's all about. I mean, you know that.
That's pretty cynical.
Well, it's cynical, but it's true. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that like the established order, and they sure don't want it to change.
What's to like about? I mean, assume for a moment, Gary, that you know you're a member of the House or the Senate. What's to like about having to go out and prostitute your values?
Well, you know, today when they were talking about this on the radio, all of a sudden it struck me. Something I guess maybe you explained, but I was too dense to pick up on it. This bill will allow anybody to get out there and run for office.
Yeah.
And they don't want that. If you're not rich and don't have the big bucks and everything else, then, you know, they want you to be out of the game. It's just a good old boy network, really, I believe is what it is.
And see, this isn't some sort of easy way into office, because I think the numbers are in these single delegate districts, you're going to have to go out and get 75 signatures and 75 $5 donations.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go find 75 people who share your vision and your views.
Yeah.
And that's not easy.
Well, I mean, it can be done. I mean, but I think it really makes the process much more open to everybody.
And I think we benefit when that happens.
Yeah, and this Virginia man, though, isn't she the one that come up with this idea of making a seatbelt offense a primary offense?
I'm not sure about that. Now, I saw our sheriff's supporting that idea.
Well, I think it's a horrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
She's the one floating that out there, you know. So now they can stop you for that.
No, I'm sorry. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. No, and I wear my seatbelt.
Well, I wear mine too. I think you should wear your seatbelt, but I also think it's a matter of personal preference.
To a large extent, and you know, I can live with it being a secondary offense.
Yeah, well, I can too.
You know, and my kids wear theirs. I wear mine. But you know what this is? This is just another cheap attempt to increase the list of things that constitute probable cause for stop.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing myself.
Because you know what? An officer, and I'm not being mean to the cops. I don't want anybody to think that I am. But you got to look pretty hard into a vehicle to see if somebody's wearing their seatbelt.
Yeah.
And if you're an officer of the law and you're cruising down the road, I would just assume you had your eyes on the road and not on my car,
yeah.
You know, or not on the contents of my car or me. And because, like I said, you've got to make a conscious effort to see if that belt's there.
Exactly.
This is another one of those act in haste, repent in leisure bills.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that going on. I mean, I don't know what our legislature's thinking of up there. It just seems like they're. We just really do not have a good quality government in the state of West Virginia. And the thing that I can't understand is there are a lot of smart people in West Virginia, a lot of really smart people, but it just seems like some way, somehow, we just get the worst government of any state out there. I mean, we're so far behind the eight ball, it ain't even funny.
No, Gary. I gotta take issue with you there, because there are a lot worse state governments. I mean, we are not 50th in the nation on this one.
Well, what about this pension deal? This Helmick is coming. He's going to oppose Manchin on his idea there.
That's my understanding.
And I think he's got a very good point there. They're saying that the teachers' pensions, for example, are only funded at 19%.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, my friend, but that is absolutely horrible government. What they've done, they come in, they set up all these pensions for these people, and didn't find a way to fund them.
Right.
I mean, it's practically criminal to do that. I mean, if you run a company and done that, what in the world would they do to you?
Oh, you wouldn't have a job for very long.
No.
The accounting firm that came in and audited your books for the every year would be running around the room with their hair on fire.
Well, they'd probably be sued and with good measure. I mean, it's just absolutely. But, you know, the deal is we do this today, but we're not going to worry about it, because by the time the chickens come home roost, we're going to be in Florida, you know, drawing our retirement pay.
Yeah, but see, that's one of my you know, I got these little kids.
Uh-huh.
So when I look at these things, I realize that it's them I'm saddling with the debt.
Exactly. But these people in our legislatures, I just don't think they really care too much about it.
Well, they don't think down the road.
It's just like with all these retirement programs. It's just, you know, what can we get by with today to get our butt out of the hot water, and we'll let the people later worry about it.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to this clean elections thing, Gary. That even frees clean elections, even frees some of this up.
Yeah. Well, that clean elections bill, when you first explained it, I was kind of 50-50 on it. But, I mean, I can see your point now, and I think it's an absolutely wonderful idea. And I would take note of the people that don't vote for it or against it and wonder why they are. And, you know, remember that election time.
Yeah.
Whatever good it'll do, but, I mean, we should do that.
Yeah, and it's stultifying to me. You know, again, it's just a pilot project.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are going to be people out there that are going to try to do everything in their power to make it not work.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, maybe whatever counties they pick, it could be that people won't even participate in it. Again, it's voluntary.
Well, I think what they're afraid of, it actually will bring more people into the process. And I believe that's what they don't want to deal with.
Yeah, you may be right. Like I said, it's a cynical view, but I think
there may be some raw, untapped political talent out there. They just don't want to even mess with it at all.
Matt, the other thing that's out there, $50 million sweetheart deal to take away our rights to sue insurance companies. Have you seen that?
You know, Bob, I'm just so sick of that type of thing. What makes them think that they can undermine our Constitution? Our Constitution gives us our day in court.
Yep.
And these people, and I will, you know, I'm a conservative.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, who's behind this 99% of the time is Republicans.
Sure. And the thing, it's these again, thinking way inside the box, not outside of it. They believe it when the insurance companies say, well, we can't do business. You know, one-time payment of $50 million, one-time $50 million rate reduction in exchange for never being sued again.
They don't, Bob, in my mind, the legislature does not have the right to take away our right to sue. It's in the Constitution.
Right.
They don't. They do things that they don't have the right to do.
Well, I tell you what, they want, I mean, they're hard charging on this one. You watch it, and there's going to be some fighting over it. But consider that one-time payment of $50 million, Gary, how quickly can the insurance company recoup that by jacking your rates up in a year from now or 2 years from now? Or,
well, if there's almost 2 million people in West Virginia, they just raise our rates up $2 a person, and they've already, over 5 years or 10 years, whatever it takes, and they've already recovered that. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very easy for them to recover that.
Yeah.
And again, what it is, it's an example of the Charleston prostitutes.
Yep.
Up there doing the bidding of the corporations like they've done for 100 years now.
Oh, exactly. And, think you might, because this is certainly not in the story. You got to dig around to find out. Now, this is called third-party bad faith, Gary.
Uh-huh.
That's suing somebody else's insurance company for messing with you.
Uh-huh.
You know, Joe rear-ends you, okay? And you try to get the insurance Joe's insurance company to deal with you. As straight up and honest as you yourself live your life, and they go, eh, screw you. You know, we'll give you a buck and a quarter, and if you don't like it, shut up. And under the current law, if you can prove that they are actually malicious in doing it and that they're actually doing it intentionally, then you can sue them. Okay? Those are mighty tall mountains to climb in the first place. Guess how many third-party bad faith suits were filed last year?
I don't know.
128.
Which is never quite insignificant.
It's almost statistically insignificant.
It's like, you know, a little over, what, 2 a county?
And that's the ones that were filed. That's not the ones that went to a jury trial and where the plaintiff was victorious.
Probably half of them didn't ever even went to trial.
Probably half of them were dismissed without, you know, any kind of settlement.
Yeah.
You know, maybe two, three got to a verdict. Of that two or three, one or two were probably for the verdicts for the insurance company.
Well, you know, I just don't understand this. You know, the Constitution says it's any matter of law that the value is, what, more than $20?
That was the original number, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see raising it for inflation. Maybe it's going to be $300 now or whatever. But you're guaranteed a trial by jury.
Mm-hmm.
And these bozos in Charleston and in Washington that want to constantly take our way, our right to a trial by jury. They're wrong. As far as I'm concerned, they're traitors to the Constitution.
Yeah.
And I don't mind calling them that. I mean, I don't want trouble out of the government, but that's just what I think about these kind of people.
And
they
want to
constantly come in and undermine the Constitution, what it says, the spirit of the law of the Constitution.
The citizens of shall have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances.
Well, see, that's what they want. That's really what they want to do away with. They want us just to sit down, shut up, be ruled over.
Yeah.
You know, just pay our taxes. Every time they jack them up, well, okay, I'll pay that.
You know, this is a wrong without a remedy. I mean, you know, they're going to set up a strong, independent insurance consumer advocate. Bite me, you know? I know what that means. That's going to be some insurance executive that's ready to retire and draw their insurance pension and go to work for the state and screw people.
Exactly. And I don't have a problem.
And we'll pay them to do it.
Ultimately, this whole house of cards is going to come down because there's just too many chinks in the armor. And so eventually it's all going to come down because it's what we're looking at in America. We're looking at a country that everywhere you look, things are dishonest. And nobody's playing on the level anymore. And
except us.
Well, I hope we are.
The working stiffs have to play on the level because we screw up and they will put us under the jail.
Yeah, for minor offenses.
Right.
I mean, in the meantime, they can go and they can do whatever they want to do. I mean, eventually it's all going to have to stop because people are getting tired of it, and I think the pain level is going to rise to a certain point. And, there's also a lot of other things coming up in the future.
Yeah.
When people start getting $500 a month heating bills, I mean, that's going to start having an effect on things.
Right.
And I think Joe Manchin was right to put that tax on the natural gas.
Absolutely.
In fact, he ought to make it a lot more than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, as long as you're not allowing them to just pass it through to us for the hell of it.
Well, you know what? Since the vast majority of our natural resources leave the state, the vast majority, we're not just consuming only our own coal and our own gas and nobody else gets any of it. Most of it goes out of state. A tax increase like that is going to have a very, very negligible impact on anybody here in West Virginia. And I get sick and tired of these idiots out there who know that, but they're just con men. They're trying to tell you this little old increase on natural gas, your utility bill is going to go up $100 a month or something like that. It's just crap, pure crap beginning to end.
I hate any kind of legislation that allows something to happen automatically that's not supposed to happen in the first place. And that pass-through provision in the comp bill, it's very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we're going to increase the severance tax, but that anything that negatively impacts the cost of coal to the power company gets to pass down to you and me without even having to be approved by the Public Service Commission.
Again, it's another con job. That's all it is. It's just a con job.
Well, I mean, and then, you know...
you remember those yo-yos out there who used to say that the reason gas was, 10 or 15 cents more a gallon in Beckley was because trucks had to pay tolls coming to Beckley?
Yeah.
That would be $8 worth of tolls on, 10,000 gallons. Well, it'd be a sea of money. Fuel weighs about 8 pounds a gallon, so figured out they could carry about 40,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
About 5,000 gallons of fuel. On 5,000 gallons of fuel, $8 worth of tolls was going to raise the price of 10 or 15 cents a gallon. It mathematically doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
But that's the type of mathematics we get out of those people. You know, they put a penny on something and they say it's going to cost us a dollar.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just doesn't add up if you can add things up just a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, you watch this third party bad faith. And you remember, Gary, this is a ripoff. This is a ripoff of monumental proportions.
Well, it's all incrementalism is what it is.
Yeah.
They are incrementally, bit by bit, tightening the screws. I mean, it's every day you look in the paper, one little way here, one little way there. They're constantly plucking the goose.
Yeah, and the rollback on this third-party thing, 2.5% of premiums.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, any time they act like they're giving us something, they're really taking it away. And
this is Esau trading his birthright for a bowl of soup, and it's not even soup here. This is nothing but warm water.
And you know something else, too? I mean, this is one thing that really frosts me. These insurance companies more or less just come in here and charge us whatever they want to do, and we never, ever, ever get to look at their books.
Nope.
And, since they are really in a monopoly position, and they're operating, I mean, it's not like it's a mom and pop grocery store on the corner that anybody can get into. These people really operate from a monopoly status.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, we can't look at their books. We just have to take their word on it. You know, like, I can go down to the corner grocery store, and I can find out what his wholesale price is on cans of tomatoes or something like that, and
yeah.
I can verify. So if he's charging me $1 and he's paying 10 cents a can, I know he's really getting it.
Yeah, and any sentence that starts out with, hey, trust me.
Yeah, but here, we don't have any hard data as to what they take in and what they put out.
Nope, we don't.
And since they are in a monopoly position, they should be regulated exactly like we do utilities and everything else.
I got no problem with that.
I mean, we should set their rates.
Keep preaching. Gary, use the phone tomorrow, okay?
Uh-huh.
Straight, make sure that Sally and all the other
guys understand
where you stand on it.
How's Russ Weeks voting on this?
well, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But I can I could almost bet, you know, he'll vote for the insurance company.
Now, I mean, on this clean elections bill.
It cleared. I believe it cleared the Senate. So I don't know how he voted.
Okay. I'd just be interested to find out. But
yeah. If he did the right thing, good for him. You know, I'll spread the praise around.